What's going on, everybody? It's good old Hunting Out Loud, your host, Rob Mershon, and we're talking with Corey Cox today. What's up, Corey?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. What do you think about my new mics?
I like it.
I like bragging.
Nice setup.
Yeah, I took down the fancy ones. I got these real fancy ones now. But audio seems to be better.
Yeah.
So, Lance Caesar, he'll be coming on at the end of this, so we're just going to double him up right here. And you know, I went fishing there a couple weekends ago with Lance, and I caught my first muskie. Mm-hmm. Which went, I'll wait till Lance gets here. We'll talk more about it. First muskie I caught since for probably 20 years.
Yeah.
I didn't think much about it. But I'll tell you know, Lance guides down there, which he said you and him had guided together
right.
Back when you was younger, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Which I didn't know you was much of a muskie fisherman until
mm-hmm.
I started stalking your page to get a couple pictures for this. And, of course, Lance told me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't realize how much work it was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Lance never stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, he was constantly, you know, he's wanting to try to get me muskie, and he was constantly just moving and grabbing this and and working. Of course, he trolled some. And when he went to doing that, I was like, holy crap.
It's a job, yeah.
That's a job, ain't it?
Yeah.
Did you ever do much of the trolling?
Only when I absolutely had to.
Well, that's what Lance said.
I'll say one thing that you'll never get me to change my mind either. A good troller will outproduce a good caster every day.
Right.
Every day.
Well, you.
I mean,
it's work, man.
It is work. It is work. But, I mean, as far as keeping a bait, you know, in the strike zone for the longest amount of time possible. You can't be trolling. You can't duplicate it by casting.
Right.
It can't be done.
Well, I started watching a little bit of the Muskie Hunter stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, but, of course, you know, from my understanding, some of them guys up north are like, why are you trolling? But it's a totally different game from what I understand. You know, what I'm seeing down here compared to what they have up there in Minnesota and Wisconsin and stuff.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, completely.
It's just like deer hunting. Comparing Iowa to here,
sure.
When it comes to deer hunting, I guess.
Yeah, that you can't compare the two regions as far as caliber of fish, the way you fish. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah, but you know, after being out there just that one day, muskie fishing and deer hunting have a lot in common.
Sure.
If you're a big buck hunter, anyways, mm-hmm. you know, any deer hunter, whatever. However you go at it, but for one, you're going out there for the most part just looking for one, or maybe if you're lucky, two bites.
Sure.
And you're mm-hmm. talking about 8 or 10 hours of big flipping lures and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff going on.
Be glad just see one some days.
Yeah, just see one. I know over the weekend I seen one. I went Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
One day with Jerry, another day by myself, and I just seen one, which I was tickled, you know,
because
I'm just learning
mm-hmm.
how to do this. But as I was talking to Lance, and he's telling me stuff, and then I realized, you know, he plays the terrain a lot, just like I would deer hunting.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, mm-hmm. it just comes down to the food. No matter what you're doing, it's always the food, ain't it?
Yeah,
so figuring out the food.
Yeah, channels, ditches, humps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever structure you can use, and then, you know, you compound the wind with that, or current, or anything else,
mm-hmm.
you know, is, you know, where the bait moves, the fish is going to move.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. People make it harder than that, but it's, you find the bait, you find the fish. I mean.
Well, I think, it seems like when you get into anything, it's just so complicated, you do make it hard. You know, Corey, both of us deer hunted forever.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get on social media or whatever, talk to people, I'm like, good Lord.
Yeah.
You're making a big deal out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with muskie fishing. Or now I've started waterfowl hunting. And
I don't know anything about that.
You're an outdoorsman, so I never thought I'd like waterfowl hunting. And then I went.
I love it. Don't get me
wrong. Oh, have you went?
Yeah, I mean, I'll try to go maybe, the last couple of years I haven't got to go, but mm-hmm. I'll normally try to go with a friend that is, he's a waterfowler.
Right.
And I'll go with him and for, you know, one or two times have an absolute blast, and then I get away from him as fast as I can. Because I can see what's down that road. That's I could easily spend a whole lot of money and a whole lot of time right there. I mean, it is fun. It's fun.
Well, it's tough, you know. You can only have so many hobbies.
Sure.
We've got 360.
I can't do what I want to do now. I mean,
you know, you have trapping and you're deer hunting, and I mean, I don't know if you get time to musky fish much anymore.
Yeah, I try to. I changed the way I fish. You know, I never go to the lake anymore. I rarely see the lake. If I go to the lake, I'm going with a friend. I'm back now to fishing, you know, the waters I grew up on.
Right.
You know, small waters, creek, river. And I got burnt on it pretty bad. You know, I just got burnt out of the lake. It, don't get me wrong, you know, Cave Run's as good as you're going to get for here, down here. But, you know, it's still a 7,000 acre impoundment, you know.
Yeah.
There's no secrets. There's no...
Well, once you figure it out,
I mean,
you know it.
Yeah, you're gonna be fishing the same hole with three or four other guys, you know, no matter what day of week it is.
Yeah.
But and I did. I got kind of burnt out on it. But once I started going back to the small water, I kind of got back to, you know,
exciting.
Where I used to be, you know, and I haven't went back. So.
Well, I mean, I know what you're saying there. It's just, you know, deer hunting's my bread and butter, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a big time deer hunter, but you can only play that game so many times.
Yes.
And things I done 20 years ago is the same. Now I've gotten better.
Yeah.
As I've got older.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the same game.
This year is going to be the same.
And I know what time to hit it. You know what time to hit it. When we know. When we got to change, and I think I was getting a little burnt out, as you say, even though it's my passion. Some of y'all just say, "Oh, he's not a hardcore deer hunter." Robbie, he ain't a hardcore deer hunter.
Yeah,
now he got burnt out. No, it ain't that. It's just the challenge. But when I went to waterfowl hunting,
it's new. It's exciting.
It was new and exciting.
You learn. You get to learn. I mean, there's only so many. I don't know how to put it. There's only so many ways to kill a deer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's either going to happen or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You can overthink all you want, but you're not going to make it happen. You do what you know to do. You put your time in, and you get the job done, and it kind of, it gets monotonous after a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hate to say that because it's still exciting. You know, when that time comes, I mean, I still get the same rush, but it don't carry through like it used to.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't get up in, you know, in the May and think, man, I can't wait to go put some minerals out. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I really don't want to now. You know what I mean? It just,
the not knowing is the fun part.
Exactly. Exactly. And it, you know, what I done last year, I didn't kill a deer, but I had more fun last year than I've had in years.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put out any trail cameras. I fed a little bit, mainly for my son. Where I hunted, I didn't feed.
Mm.
I went out, I scouted, I looked the sign, I hunted. I passed up two deer that, looking back, I shouldn't have.
Because
I know now that I was looking at the deer that made the sign. You know, but in my mind, there was a bigger deer made that.
Sure.
The excitement was there. The mystery was still there. You know what
I mean? Yeah, the mystery.
I wasn't looking for that exact deer that I've had on camera for 2 months.
Yeah.
But it made it better. I know it sounds dumb, but to me it made it better.
Well, that's just where you're at in the evolution of a hunter. I keep bringing up all the time. I mean, that's where, and now you're wanting to pass your knowledge along, of course, to your children, and you are, or probably, I'm sure, anyone that, why you come on here. You're always very helpful with the, you know, I was thinking about in the hunting, you know, community, we have the predator community now, muskie community, the big bass community, the deer hunt community. It's all just, of course, it's under the one umbrella.
Yeah.
But as far as the trappers, you know, you and Nick Biggs, I think you guys kind of met through this podcast, and I'll tell you, the trappers are really helpful. I see them always reaching out, trying to help people out, and just an open book.
It is. And that's changed over the years. I mean, it didn't used to be like
that. I know how much I love hunting, and I want to pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like you all that are hardcore trappers, you know, you're just wanting to see that tradition
stay alive.
Stay alive.
Yeah.
And that's what it's supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that it's circling a drain bad.
Yeah,
it really is. I mean, it's...
Well, I think it would be popular, and I've never trapped.
Mm-hmm.
But reason being is, I think everyone can have a little bit of success at some sort of level and then work their way up to the coyote. I mean, whether you're going after muskrats or raccoons, whatever.
Yeah, you can go out day one and try to catch a coyote. I mean, you know, it ain't... You're not going to hurt anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what will you hurt? Go out and learn. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's the fun part of anything you do in outdoors is failing.
Yeah. Learning.
Learning.
Yeah. It's new. I mean, it's new. It's exciting. If you don't like to learn and if you don't like to fail, you're obviously not going to like anything outdoors because no one goes into anything. You don't go into waterfowl hunting. You don't go into deer hunting. You don't go in, you know, knowing everything. You know, performing at the level that other people do, that's done it for 30 years, you know, it's just not going
to
happen.
Well, you have to have, you know, we was talking about how you trappers, you know, promote and are you all's an open book when it comes to helping people out. Right. I mean, from what I've seen, the trappers that I follow, all the trappers that I follow, and I follow a lot because it just intrigues me.
Sure.
But I don't know if you followed him, but there's a guy in the hunt community, I should say, James Jackson, that just passed away this last week. Did you see James?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I didn't know who he was,
right,
but I'd followed him.
Uh-huh.
And he had shared a picture with him and his grandson or something, and I just messaged him. I didn't know he's huge as what he was as far as in the outdoor industry and all this and that.
Yeah.
Man, you couldn't ask for a kinder guy. Just sweet, and just chatted with me and talked. Mm-hmm. How you doing? How's your hunting going?
Yeah.
I never, you know, I'm a stranger.
Right. Yeah.
And, but as I got to following him more and more, and then chat with him a little bit more. I mean, that guy right there was someone. That's the type of people we need in the hunting industry.
Absolutely.
Rest easy, James. Man, I hate to hear that, but you know.
Yeah.
You can just, he was always taking someone hunting.
Yeah.
It wasn't about him. He was always taking someone hunting, and
mm-hmm.
you could tell he got a lot of gratification out of watching someone succeed outdoors and passing that on.
Sure. If you really love it, then you cannot not get gratification from it.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to make you happy to see that continue.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who don't want their children to enjoy what we've enjoyed?
Yeah, really.
Or our grandkids. I mean, it's...
Just see anyone get that feeling.
Anybody.
You remember that feeling the first time that happened. I do, too. And
yeah, you can't... You know, you don't want to keep that from nobody.
No. I mean, just like Lance, when he took me out, you know, I felt pretty confident going with Lance, and I was learning.
Sure.
And that muskie I caught, you know, he's 36 inches or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was tickled to death. But, you know, Lance, man, he was pumped, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he helped me, you know, absolutely, get that muskie. Now, it'll mean more when I do it by myself now,
mm-hmm.
which might take a while. But I'll eventually keep chipping at it, and I catch one, I'll be tickled to death.
That's it, yeah. It's about the experience. It, you know, it don't... Muskie ain't going to be anything different than deer.
No.
You know, once you get that kind of success like you got on your deer wall, you know, it's...
That brings me to another question. We're rolling now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've done them both.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was talking to Lance about, I keep bringing Lance up just because I know you two, both big musky fishermen. And of course, he's coming on here soon. But I would think, you know, when it comes to the musky world, I guess the magic number is a 50-incher. Pretty much, as far as
for,
like a 170-inch buck.
Yeah, it is for the most part.
For the most part, right in there.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to put numbers on it, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I guess 50 inches. Now, in my mind, it would be harder to catch a 50-inch muskie than to kill a 170-inch buck. And here's my reason behind that. You know, that buck right there, he's 172 inches.
Uh-huh.
And people will argue because everyone wants to argue about stuff. But sure, that buck's only a 4.5-year-old buck.
Yeah.
Now, from what I understand, for a muskie to get 50 inches, you're talking about maybe 12, 14, 15 12, years 15 old.
15-year-old fish, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's got to be
tough. It is.
That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah. I mean, and then you get into, you know, if you really want to go down that wormhole, you get into, you know, the pressure, the lure conditioning that, you know, some people say that, you know, that exists. Some people say it doesn't. I believe it does.
Well, you've done it enough to know.
I believe that a fish gets conditioned to seeing lures. But, yeah, I mean, you could say that, but I don't know. I just can't go there. I don't know. They're both hard.
They're both tough.
It's tough, you know, it is. Because, you know, somebody can go out. They might go out on a charter with Lance this weekend, never been fishing before, and pop a 50.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody might buy their deer license this fall, never been out before. Yeah. Pop a 170.
But someone like us, it just goes out and pursues that.
Yeah, to chase it, you know, steadily.
Yeah, I was thinking, now, if I was to take a full year, or let's say the three best months of musky fishing,
mm-hmm.
and the three best months of deer hunting.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a neck and neck deal, ain't it?
It is.
It's pretty weird how they can relate.
I guess the only way you could say is, you know, all right, say Cave runs 7,000 acres. And I guess you'd have to say, you know, say you hunt a 7,000 acre farm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would, I guess that's the only way you could really correlate them two things.
Yeah.
But I will say this, if you fish hard for those 3 months on Cave Run, you do all the right things, you fish where you're supposed to, when you're supposed to, you should have a shot, a legitimate shot, at least 150-inch fish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I can say that. You know what I'm saying?
It's tough.
Yeah,
and then when we're buck hunting, you know, you and I, we're going to know if mm-hmm. we're on that buck.
Sure.
You don't ever know. You might be fishing dead water for 3 months.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying dead, but as far as
we
don't know what area he's in all the time. Mm-hmm. But then again, as you and Lance both said, once you get in the terrain, mm-hmm. I guess those big fish will always lay in the same spots. You'll just know. That buck right there, I haven't hunted that area in 4 years
mm-hmm.
since I shot him.
Yeah.
There's a big buck back in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same place,
sure.
Same train,
mm-hmm.
just like, you know, from what I understand, muskie do pretty much the same thing.
It is. You can just about, you know, mark on your map every year what time of the year, where they're going to be. You will get, you know, you'll get some oddball flyers here and there. You know, Lance, as much as he's on the water, he'll tell you he'll probably get a little off-the-wall pattern that everybody else ain't got, but for the most part, you know, everybody's going to be pounding the same structure at the same time, at the same place, because they repeat yourself every year.
And that, I guess that's where that newbie might come along and get lucky fishing that one spot.
Yeah, see four or five boats out there wadded up and get in there with them, and you might be the lucky one to, you know, hit it in the head.
I was going to show you. I was using a Bondi.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having crappie hit them things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they was trying to run them off. I sent you a picture.
Yeah, you sent me a picture. Yeah, I've seen some crazy stuff like that. Yeah.
You know, I got this big rod and I felt something. I was like, damn, if that's a muskie, that's not a very big one. I could just barely feel something.
Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me? There's chances of that.
They're crazy. It's crazy. You see all kinds of stuff.
Well, I know at the end of the day, or every day that I musky fished, at the end, son, I was putting my hips, legs, and everything, whatever I was doing.
Oh, yeah.
It is work, no doubt. And I know we said that before.
I'd come home tired, and my wife would make fun of me. You've been fishing all day. Yeah, well, I'm tired. It's hard. Yeah, whatever.
So it'll wear you out.
It will wear you out. It will. But it's a good wore out. It's fun.
Yeah. I mean, makes it that much sweeter when something happens.
You know, it's more work, but to me, it's there's more reward in a 4 foot muskie than there is a 12 inch bass. That's me personally.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the work reward ratio better.
Well, see, I love my bass fishing friends, but man, I can't get started on that because there's a big percentage of I see a lot of bass fishermen that has no, you know, ethics at all when it comes boating and just our butts.
You're going to see that with everybody, though. I mean, you really
it seems like in Big Rooster Tail, and you're right.
Yeah.
But I'd said this on the last podcast, or last episode, I think. Man, you get down to Cumberland, and some they intentionally buzz them guys.
Oh, yeah.
Them striper fishermen.
Uh-huh.
Just come right out of the... Just I don't understand what the problem is.
I don't either.
They don't like the striper. Well, I mean, Cumberland, that's what Cumberland's for.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's an excellent bass lake, but
that ain't what pays the bills. That's their bread and butter is the striper in them. And it is a good bass lake.
It's a great bass lake. And you could probably argue it's the best in this state.
Yeah.
At this time, right now.
And it don't seem like a lot of people target that lake for bass. And I mean, sure, they are. They do,
but it's such a big lake. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
If you have to look it up and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I'm thinking that Cumberland has the same amount of shoreline as the eastern seaboard.
Yeah, it's Gulf of Mexico.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
But it's...
Has more.
It's huge. I mean, it's just so many creeks and fingers, and people can get just... You don't realize how much pressure is on that lake.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And then when you go down there right now... Of course, one thing about the striper is... you can catch them all year long.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, everybody keeps their striper pretty much. From what I understand, when you bring
it's
one of them
anyway.
Up, they're done.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and I'm going to get to something with Lance when he gets here when it comes to how they measure and all that stuff. Did you fish many muskie tournaments?
Very few. It just never was my thing. I'm sure they're fun. You know, I fished some, you know, a lot of small local ones. I never fished the PMTT. But I just never got into them.
I do like how they, Lance was explaining to me how they, you know, weigh their musky and get them back in, like, pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah, length. They do, yeah, the length. And, you can't, as far as doing the least amount of harm to the fish, you can't beat, the way PMTT does it.
Yeah.
I mean, less stress.
When it comes to bass fishing, I would think, and I don't know how the local little tournament, I mean, you know, Yatesville, I think it has a bass tournament every evening, and you know when it's hot.
Yeah.
I mean, I sit there and listen to conservation officers. I ain't trying to beat up on the bass fishermen, but, you know, I've heard the biologists say when them fish swim off, they're dead.
Absolutely.
So you drag them around that hot boat.
Yeah. There's no arguing it. I mean, the easiest way is just, I mean, Yatesville is a prime example of that. Yatesville, when it really first started getting good, around 2000,
mm-hmm.
2000, 02, 03, around in there, Yatesville was phenomenal. Great lake. I fish bass tournaments up there. It would take, you know, I've seen many nights where it'd take a 7-pounder to get big fish.
Yeah.
It would take nights if you had 15 pounds, you weren't even in the money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's excellent numbers.
Big time.
And now, go try to catch a 7-pounder.
Well, Lord, I mean.
Now go try to put even 15 pounds in a bag up there.
Here's the thing is, you know, you like I said it before, bass fisherman, deer hunter, and I'm a deer hunter.
Mm-hmm.
It's my big passion. I love bass fishing.
Sure.
But they're both the biggest pain ass there ever was
divas. Yeah.
They're divas, man. And we said that at the same time, so there's just no denying that.
It is what it is.
But they're the biggest divas, and they'll cry about someone keeping bass to eat, keeping their limit. There's a limit for a reason, but they'll turn around and have a tournament every night.
Yeah.
And kill these fish, but somehow they justify that.
Sure, yeah.
Because I know what's best for deer hunting.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Or for the game that I hunt, I know what's best for it. You know what's best.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they try to...
At
Major League Fishing, that was... They get that fish right back
they
in the water.
They done something right there. They're actually... I love that.
And I understand the Bassmasters where they drive in with their boat and the big crowd and all that stuff. I get that.
Yeah, that's great and all, but when it comes down to it, do you want to conserve what you love to do?
Yeah, the conservation.
Or do you want to have your, you know, 5 minutes of fame?
Yeah.
What's more important to you?
And you certainly can't be crying about people keeping bass then.
When you're killing, the next day you can go to any of these ramps that a local tournament comes in, does their way in, go to the ramps the next day.
I've seen it.
You'll see a dozen floating, and here's the problem. I'm not sure on the exact percentage, but it's minimum. It's like 30% of fish float when they're dead. So if you're seeing a dozen, how many's on the bottom?
Yeah, that's bad, ain't it?
I don't
know what the answer is.
And you'll see. Unfortunately, I hate to say this because, I mean, a lot of my friends are going to really get in me on this, but you will see that the musky elitists are even way worse than the bass.
Really?
They are. It's bad. And don't get me wrong, I don't like seeing musky be kept here for the simple reason of reproduction, but if someone does, you know what? They bought a license. Mm-hmm. That's their right. I am never going to badmouth them. I ain't never going to say nothing to them. Me personally.
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
Right.
But if you want to, hey, I ain't saying nothing to you. You're within your rights. So.
And I think most of those people, when it comes to muskie, are those that I don't know if they're actually out targeting muskie. They might be bass fish or something. Grab one. Maybe they do. Well,
there's a lot of targeting.
Really,
yeah.
They go out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's still a lot of people. Yeah.
It's just tough. I've seen a picture of this guy. And here's what hurts me. I mean, I just started musky fishing, really. Mm. I mean, I've tried, but I'm just now going to dig in and try to learn it here. But I seen in West Virginia, I have a picture on my phone. It was like a 54, 55 incher record. Did you see it on Facebook?
I don't know if I did. I probably did.
Son, he's just hanging right there. And
yeah.
I'm like, God. Yeah. You know, how old is that fish?
Yeah, but now that's another one that I will never... You know,
I know.
People.
And he had every right to. I'm just saying. For me, I'm thinking.
And to me, I would rather see that man keep that fish as I would see a man keep a 40-inch fish.
Yeah.
To me.
Right.
I just.
Kind of same principle as deer hunting.
That fish's life is over.
Yeah.
It's done. When they get that big here, it's over. I mean,
how old is that fish right there?
Who knows? It might be 12, might be 15, maybe a little older.
Good God.
But it's just, you know, everybody, you know, once you get into this and you'll hear these big discussions, you know, if you ever catch, you know, so and so record, you know, what do? You release it, you know, you take the, you know, the musky moral high ground and release it, or do you keep the fish? I'm telling you right now, if I catch a 50-inch fish tomorrow, she's done.
She coming home?
She done.
Have you caught a 50 before?
No, a 50 pounds.
Oh, 50 pounder? 50
pounds. That would be the state record. She's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, 50-inch fish, no, it's going back. But,
yeah.
But yeah, if I catch a 50-pound fish enough to bust Sarah's record, it's coming home. Mm-hmm. That fish is dead anyway. That fish does not have another 2-3 years, if that.
Right.
Left.
Right.
It's coming home.
You see so much of. See, I'm new into it, so I just. Yeah. My thing with them was just the age.
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
But I know what you're saying. That fish is done. And, but, I was talking about. I went down to Little Sandy to a camp.
Mm-hmm.
It's been several years ago. Went down there to drink some beer and throw horseshoes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing the trees are like. Now, this is a little sandy.
Yeah.
Like 7 or 8 musky heads.
Oh, yeah.
And it's where I was big.
Yeah.
I didn't think.
It's common.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you keeping them for? Well, I eat them. I'm like, I wasn't a big concert. I don't know if he was catching them on jugs or what he was doing.
I mean, yeah, they can.
He was catching them on live bait.
Yeah,
for
live
sure.
Line, bluegill, and everything else. I mean, it is what it is. There's nothing illegal about it. I mean, there was a guy, Lance could tell you better on this one, and I'll just wait till he gets, and you can ask him about, there was a boy catching him off his houseboat a few years back, and he put up just, it was mind-boggling numbers in a year that he killed off his houseboat.
Just from lot B.
Yeah, just
lot B. I think he told me about that.
I mean, just, and, you know, he's not the only one doing it.
And you're only allowed to be in possession of so many of those. I do know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. From when I read up on everything.
Yeah. But now, I mean, you kill a muskie a day.
That's tough, man.
Buddy, hey, that
adds
up.
Well, you're talking about, if, you know, 8 to 12, 14-year-old fish, it takes them that long. And it's,
there's no reproduction. The reproduction is like, I mean, you have a way better chance of dying of coronavirus than we have of getting a naturally reproduced muskie. I mean, so every time you kill one, you have to physically put a fish back to replace it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you do. I mean,
it don't take long to hurt.
You and Dave, you know, Lance, mm-hmm. you guys catch one. I know you're reviving that thing and making sure she leaves.
Absolutely.
And takes off. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, like I said, there's so many. It's like everything else. There's so many discussions. I mean, but that's another
hot
one.
Hot topic. Same
yeah.
Everything's a hot topic.
Yeah, exactly. Do you handle a fish? Do you unhook it at the boat? Do you unhook it? Do you cut the hooks? Do you do this? Do you do that? Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that me personally now, I mean, that's another one. Me, if that fish isn't a huge fish, it's not coming out of the water anymore.
Well, yeah.
It's unhooked in the water.
Right in the net.
And she's gone. Yeah. That's it. But if somebody wants to pick that fish up and take their picture, then by all means do it.
Right.
Just be careful with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's all.
Yeah. You know, well, and people don't know if they don't hear it, maybe.
Exactly.
Even on this podcast, you know, just mm-hmm. if I hadn't talked to Dave French, you, mm-hmm. Lance, I mean, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm at that age where I have respect for all the animals.
Sure,
or fish or anything that I'm after, which I see that changing. You know, that's an ass whip right there in itself. I mean, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, it's bad.
You know, and that's a good segue. And we're podcasting, so we're just talking about stuff.
Sure.
So I always brag on, and everybody's clumped together. Like I said, you know, now it's just not hunters. It's you got the community, the deer hunting community, the predator hunting community.
Yeah.
And the predator.
Either you're in or you're out.
Yeah. So let's say, you know, a lot of the predator hunters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't hear much. What, 4 or 5 years ago, you didn't mm-hmm. hardly see anyone. Maybe John Collins. I've had John on the show.
Yeah.
And John promotes coyote hunting big time.
Sure.
And Jeremy, around here, Jeremy Gillum and Denny Ray Conley, I don't know if you're friends with them on social media.
On social media.
But they're just good guys. Yeah. And that's their thing. They love predator hunting.
Sure.
And it's been a few years ago, we held a predator tournament. I host a predator tournament with John down there in Greenup to raise some money
mm-hmm.
for a foundation.
Yeah.
And that was the first tournament that Jeremy and Denny even, you know, had heard of. And we raised a bunch of money, you know, I mean, way up there.
Yeah.
Thanks to anti-hunters.
Yeah.
they started on us and that thing blew up, you know. Everybody's like, oh, my gosh, we're going to enter. They're like, yeah, thanks a lot anyways.
Yeah.
But, so it's really took off.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see predator hunters all over the place. That's great because I think it's a great way to introduce someone to the outdoors because it's action packed.
Yeah.
They can move every 25 minutes, 30 minutes, mm-hmm. whatever they do, another set. But then it just takes one asshole being disrespectful.
Sure,
You know, a coyote just doesn't come in this world and say, I want to be a coyote.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's a coyote. And he's going to do what coyotes do.
Yeah.
And then you get some guy that calls him in because he was hungry or he was pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And he shoots him at 200 yards, whatever it is, and then grabs a hold of him by both ears and he's sitting there growling at him and posing for the camera.
Yeah, that's...
And you know what?
Seems to be the big thing.
That's where I'm on the same line with the anti-hunters.
Yeah.
Because that's horse shit.
Yeah,
can you not respect the animal?
I don't know what the deal is with that.
It's attention.
It ain't my thing, but, you know, if people do it, they do it. But
you can't change the world.
No, you can't.
But that's just...
Yeah.
Everybody
wants
to get
your picture. To me, especially with that, you know, especially me, I mean, killing coyotes is a job. consider it a job. It's something we should be doing.
Right.
We should be managing them. I love to see guys out predator hunting. I like to see the tournaments. I do. I like to see that because to me that's more coyotes getting killed. And believe me, ain't nobody hates a coyote more than me.
Right.
But there's this little thing been creeping in. You know, I sit back. I still call some. I have fun going out and calling. But there's this little mentality creeping in that, you know, people are wanting to treat these tournaments now like a bass tournament, like a muskie tournament. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to save these coyotes. You know, I'm not going to hunt this farm. And you wouldn't believe how many farms that I have lost trapping because predator hunters have talked the landowner into, well, let's just leave, if you don't care, leave him alone. You know, I'm going to come in later in the year and I'll kill them all.
Mm.
Of course they don't. And now the guys eat up with coyotes.
You and I both, and I've said it before, a predator hunter is not going to
hold
no water with the trapper.
Yeah, I mean,
no way. Not a good trapper.
Yeah, but they can do damage. They can do damage, and I like to see them do damage. I want them to do damage on the regular. I don't want them to wait and say, hey.
Come on in.
You know, I don't want them to wait and say, well, I'll get them later. You know, in the meantime, they've ate that meat deer. They've ate that meat turkey. What's up, buddy?
What's happening?
Lance has made it.
How are you?
Good.
We're roasting coyote hunters.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
I don't know. I don't care. I don't know too much about it anyway.
My new mic. I took down the other mics.
Okay.
It's so much better. Well, you've heard audio.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than that crap, and I can't justify spending thousands of dollars.
I thought you did.
But, yeah. I did.
Yeah.
But no, I know what you mean. And I've had a conversation with some predator hunters. And like I said, we're not knocking all predator hunters.
No, I ain't knocking any of them.
You know, I'm not racist because I'm white, because some idiot cop up here in Minnesota.
Oh my God.
Done something dirty to a black guy. Mm-hmm. And that's bullshit.
It was.
But you know what?
I'm not.
That racist bullshit. Mm-hmm. That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And looting fucking stores ain't helping you none.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that.
No.
That took the eye off the injustice that happened. That's selfish, in my opinion.
It's all deal. Yeah.
But I've had the conversation with a couple, and they wasn't too crazy about trappers. And I said, well, you know, when it comes to PETA, anti hunters, or anyone, the first thing you say is, we're trying to control the population. That's why we're hunting.
That's it, yeah.
So you're hunting to glorify yourself, holding a big old coyote, or you're hunting to control the population?
That's it, yeah.
I mean, when I go deer hunting, I'm not hunting to control the population. I'm going because I want to kill deer, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Just to be honest with you, I understand it. You know, these guys, you know, there's guys that they'll quit hunting, you know, from whatever, say, March to end of May because, you know, they don't want to kill a wet female with pups. Hey, and they do that because they enjoy hunting and they want the population to either stay the same or increase. And I get that. Mm-hmm. I get that. I'm on the other side of the fence. I want the population going the other way.
Right.
So it's hard. You know, like I said, I'm not knocking them. I like seeing them out there. I like, you know, seeing dead coyotes because I know what that accomplishes. That accomplishes more deer, more turkeys, more everything. But
well, things that I've seen disappear when the coyotes come around. One was fox. I don't ever see a fox anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't see grouse. I don't know if they have something to do with that or not.
Mm-hmm. I
but I'm
know.
Just saying about that's, when they come in, I definitely
really no, it don't. I mean,
what happened to the grouse, the turkey?
Man, you can get lost in biology, you know.
It's just, but they did disappear, didn't they?
They
in the
90s really disappeared, it dwindled.
Yeah,
but I mean, there are so many. It mainly it's habitat. That's number one. Mainly it's habitat, but you know, there's been books wrote about West Nile. There's been books wrote about, you know, they can't handle these ticks, these new breeds of ticks we have. I mean, that's, they just had a lot of stuff against them.
Well, that'd be said about the grouse. I seen a pheasant, and everyone's seen a pheasant right there at the Russell Bridge. Have you seen that thing?
I just saw the picture you posted.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what's going on there. Someone's raising a pheasant, but it stays right there. I'm like, what the hell is that? Of course, I don't know if it was you or who was talking to me about the pheasant, said the soil was not good for them around here or whatever. Yeah, I can't remember. Well, Lance, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot.
Now, I know you musky fish up in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know any good bait shops in South Minneapolis? We'd go up there and loot them right quick.
Thorn Brothers is a little more on the north side, but, you know, we can go up there.
Go there. Yeah. What do you think about that? I hate to go down that rabbit hole, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't. That's
bad, ain't it?
I watched it one time, and honestly, I
couldn't watch it.
I couldn't either.
No.
That's a bad deal.
Well, here's the only... But, I mean, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's bullshit.
It is.
For one, I just got to say my take on this real quick, since it's fresh.
Mm-hmm.
That noodle-armed cop, if that guy didn't want to be in handcuffs, he wouldn't have been in handcuffs. So, to me, he was following orders.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get one Barney Fife acting like it.
Yeah. It's bad.
But, you know, you can't judge all freaking, you know, people want to judge all cops.
No.
Here in Virginia, when that idiot governor down there started out with the guns, and they go down there, all them guns, thousands of people, I don't know how many thousands was down there with guns, peaceful protests. I mean, all religions and races down there, everybody getting along to, you know, get their point across. It seems like they've done a pretty good job at that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got some idiot cop kills that man. I'm an American. I can't deal with the black and white stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I come up in a rough school in Florida when I was little, and let me tell you something, a bunch of black kids whip my ass all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just not dealing with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't like I'm going to sit there and cry about it the rest of my freaking life, you know what I'm saying? I get sick of that race card bullshit.
Yeah.
It's just, and they're so selfish, they want to start looting. And I'm saying they, I'm not talking about just black people or whatever. I'm talking about everyone that's going in there looting.
Well, I've seen plenty of white people in
that's what I'm saying. Just thugs. I mean,
lazy asses taking advantage of the situation. Yeah.
They're taking advantage of the situation and taking the eyes off the real problem of what happened right there.
Sure.
You know, you would think they'd be down
wherever they need. Nobody's thinking about that poor guy right now.
They could care less.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad.
I could see a protest. My God, everyone, you know, there's a bunch of Americans pissed off over that.
Yeah.
But now everyone's eyes is off of it.
Mm.
Just blows my damn mind.
Yeah. As long as they don't set the lake on fire up there, I'll be all right.
They might as well. I could get your bait shot. I bet you ain't a stick of toilet paper left in that Target.
You're probably right.
That'd have been, I mean, if I was up there, you might as well, hell, might as well get you some toilet paper.
Yeah, might as well.
Apparently you need it this time of year.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Lance, we've been talking about muskie.
Okay.
Of course. We've got to talk about muskie with both of you guys here. And I was telling Corey, I couldn't believe that's work.
Oh, it's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work, man.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter how you fish them, if you're casting, trolling, jigging, it's work.
Mm-hmm. Well, the day I was with you, there at the end of the day, I mean, I started to realize I was putting my hips into everything we was doing. I was getting my side in it. I was throwing my shoulders.
Yeah.
And I had a blast.
Yeah.
But it's definitely work, and it's just a lot of fun. Of course, for me, you know, you guys know what you're doing. It's all new to me, so it's pretty exciting. I was telling you, let's see, I went out Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Last Friday and Saturday. Friday, I went around towards where I told you, Buck Creek or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, I just went around through there, just go somewhere different and do some things we done. But I want to show you right here, and I know Corey knows where we're at. But if you go up in Buck Creek right here, of course, here's that house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right on this side, around that wall, it was, of course, the water was up.
Right.
And there's a bunch of carp up there. I guess they must be spawning.
Right up on the
boat. I didn't know what they was, and I was like, man, what the hell is going on over there? So I go over, and I had just some kind of orange Rapala looking bait or something about like this, and I just slung it up there a couple times before I realized what was going on. It was a bunch of carp.
Mm-hmm.
But when I threw it out, there was, I don't know what they was, but there's fish following that thing.
Shad.
Was they shad? I didn't know if they was shad or...
I
didn't know if they had herring.
Last week. Yeah.
Okay. So they started following me, and I was like, man, I'm going to grab one of my other plugs that kind of looked like it. I just thought, and try it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that hole,
mm-hmm.
all the way, you know what I'm talking about? That hole mm-hmm. to the right? That's where I hooked that. And sure enough, you know, I've had my net ready all day long.
Right.
I mean, it's right here. I have a big old net, but you had to pull it out and lock right. it. And when I ran all the way around through there, I had it shoved in, and you got to hold that little thing and pull it. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, I'm like, oh. Oh God! I mean, they don't quit, do they? And I'm trying to pop that out, and of course, he throws the hook. I don't know if it's any bigger than the one that I caught with you, but
it's not easy by yourself. No. I hadn't caught one by myself for probably 4 or 5 years until last year. I had some clients quit early.
Yeah,
and I went back out and caught a couple, and I looked like a complete idiot out there trying to net them by myself because I hadn't done it so long. But it's tough.
I mean, yeah. if you don't have
9-foot rod in one hand and a 9-foot net in the other, it's not easy.
And it ain't like they just give up.
No, they don't give you an opportunity.
And of course, and I'm hooking one by myself and I'm all pumped up. I'm already getting pictures of this thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but anyways, it was exciting. And then the next day, the next day, I think I texted you.
Yeah, I was out there that day.
I thought I'd seen you one day because I put in at Warwick.
Mm-hmm.
I put in there that first day. That's the first time I put in there because I was by myself. And heck, that's a pretty easy little place to put in if you're by yourself at ramp.
Yeah, ramp's flat. You can put in there year round, except maybe in the fall you'll struggle. They drop the water.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. So that's pretty good. Let's see, I got notes made up here. Questions and all that good. Well, I'm getting
professional.
Yeah. I'm getting professional. Let's see what we got on here. Andy Beshear is an idiot. No, we'll skip that.
That's a given.
Yeah.
Dirty cops. We already went there. We'll go through that. Yeah, the bait shops. We got that. Yeah. Whoa. Hold on. Yeah. There we go. Now I remember. That's why I wrote that stuff down. So Lance.
Mm-hmm.
It's been years. You got back into turkey hunting. You had a little time this year.
Oh, I love it.
So let's hear about it. Let me move this up. My mic.
What do you want to hear? Start to finish?
Let's just start.
Of my season?
Here, and we start to get into turkey hunting, Corey. Now here's my thoughts. When the whole world shut down, I was thinking, man, this should be a good turkey season because everyone's at home. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to get time to turkey hunt. And, of course, you couldn't guide, right. So I'd give you an opportunity to turkey hunt. And how long has it been, you saying?
I hadn't killed a turkey since 06.
So it's been a while.
Yeah, and I've probably only went maybe 4 times since then.
Mm-hmm.
No, I had a blast. I took my little boy youth season. Of course, he's only 5, so we hunted a solid hour every day. He's ready to go to the house. But then when regular season came in, to me, it was almost like starting over. I'd done it before, but I hadn't done it so long. I know I messed up at least 4 birds I should have killed.
Mm-hmm.
But I was determined, and, you know, kind of like we talk, I didn't really want to go with anybody and kill one.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do it on my own, and after 3 weeks of season, I finally got it done on the 6th.
That's sweet.
Yeah. It ended up being the easiest. I mean, I had set up on 5 or 6 birds already during the spring, and one thing, I had a pack of beagles run one off, and I got picked off another time, and a hen got me another time. But this one, I heard him gobble on the roost. I dropped down probably within 80 to 100 yards of him. He was on one ridge. I was on the next, kind of down in the valley a little bit. He flew down about 60, 70 yards away. Walked 30 yards straight up the hill. Mm-hmm. He hadn't been on the ground 6 minutes when I shot him.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have went any easier. After the whole way the season had went so far, it worked out pretty good.
Well, it makes it fun, especially, you know, where you haven't had the opportunity to turkey hunt due to where you're usually guiding.
Right.
And then all that stuff happens. So now, next year, guiding's going to be wide open in turkey season. Now you have a big decision.
I got a feeling I'm going to be taking some vacation and hunting during the week.
I hear you. You know, turkey hunting's a lot of fun because it's just, there's always some action going on, right, or something going on. Corey, I seen you had the kids out. Did you take your wife?
I did take my wife, yeah. I don't think she's going to be a hunter. probably the most action that we had all year was the day she went. We had 2 strutters in the field for over 2 hours chasing hens. Finally, one broke, came in. Maybe here to the wall behind the blind, and you know, when they're that close, I mean, the spitting, the drumming, the whole, you couldn't ask for any more to happen. Right. and she's, you know, flipping through her phone. Every time it gobbles, I mean, she's like, I said, what do you think about that? She said, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's over.
I was like, okay, we'll try deer hunting this fall, maybe. I don't know, but, yeah.
It's not for everybody, is it?
No, no, but she said she had fun, but.
Yeah.
She might have just enjoyed the break from the kids.
That's exactly what she did. I mean, every time I turned around, she had, you know, she had chips or a candy bar or pop, and she's on the phone and she's eating, and she's like, I really do like it.
Yeah, she's relaxing.
Yeah, so she, yeah, I mean, but yeah, the kids probably won't ever go again. The girls, of course, up in the morning was cold,
right,
wet, and
you weather
know,
was terrible for turkey
yeah,
season.
I mean, and they were. You know, they asked me when we was going home at least 30 times before daylight.
Right.
And birds gobbling everywhere. I mean, it was just everywhere. And, yeah, I couldn't get them to go back because they did. They got cold. It got wet. And so I'll try again next year.
Right.
With them. But.
Man, it's a lot of fun. I tell you, of course, I've said it a million times, you know, the kids are grown up. My kids are grown up. And I'm so happy that I took them,
mm-hmm.
you know, just... But like you, when they was real little,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I just kind of went with them, whatever
yeah.
they want to do, and especially deer hunting, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys do the same thing. You're taking yours out,
mm-hmm.
and you want to put them in a hot spot and
oh, yeah.
hope it happens quick, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because you They're might have an hour you. If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took my five-year-old 4 times. We never longest we had out was an hour and a half.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, just keep it fun.
I mean, yeah. he's like, he for one time he fell asleep.
Yeah. yeah.
Slept for an hour and woke up. And he said, how long have I been asleep? And I said, about an hour. He said, well, I'm ready to go.
That's
said, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, Greg, I took him when he was 8, and I set a turkey out there. I think I told you this, Lance. I might have. I can't remember. But I set one of the decoys out and just set him in my lap, and I had a little single barrel 20 gauge. Here comes 2 big gobblers, and I'm like, oh, God. You know, and I got him sitting right here, and he, boom, he busts this one, and it just whoo, falls over. You know how they're always flopping and stuff, so,
oh, yeah.
you know, him being little, I grab the gun, grab him, and I run up to the turkey, and I'm looking at it, and I turn, and I was like, great, you know, you got one. And I turn back around, the turkey's looking at me.
Oh.
yeah, and here he goes across this field, and me going after it, and
yeah.
So we had that story, and then the next time I took him hunting, turkey hunting, I'd heard a gobbler down the holler. We must have been pretty far from it. And I felt like, and, you know, Corey, you've probably done this. I know you like to reap them. Mm. Like, I mean, I just like to kill them.
Sure,
I don't give
yeah,
a shit.
Yeah, I'd kill them anyway.
I'd
yeah.
call them in, reap them, whatever the hell.
Mm-hmm.
But he's down the holler, but he's still on the roost.
Mm-hmm.
There's been bad weather that night, so I knew he was way down there. And I'm like, if I can get this... decoy, this gobbler decoy, right to the top where he can see at least a fan,
mm-hmm.
he'll come up.
Yeah.
So we get right about through there, and he starts hammering. So I know he's about to come off that roost. And Greg's like, I gotta poop.
Mm.
And I was like, wow. I was like, well, here. And, you know, I yeah. sat him down. He's 8 or 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat him down. I was like, take a crap. And I run out there, and I just... You know, right over the holler, like it's going down mm-hmm. there, and I just set it just where I thought he could see the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I do, he hits the ground, and I hear him, I'm like, shit. Uh-huh. So I'm running back, and Greg's like, I gotta pee. And I'm like, I throw that gun in his arms, and he's peeing all over the damn place, and here comes the bird, and he shoots it. You know, he would get mad if I tell that story. Or well, I did tell everybody, here's
now,
there'll be thousands of people, but you know, he's just a kid. Yeah. But man, it's just. Those yeah. things like that. I mean, come on.
You can never forget it.
No, you can't yeah. forget it. He still laughs about that.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it's all about.
So do your kids, I know yours will be playing mm-hmm. ball. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't play this year. How
well,
about yours,
yeah,
Corey?
We're getting ready to start.
Are they going to play?
Yep.
Well, I yeah. think Russell's.
Russell, I don't know if they're going to play.
I don't think Russell's going to do it.
I'm over our, me and my brother are over our Kai Ripken League out there, and we're starting 29th opening day. We're going to play basically a month.
Yeah. Well, good. I mean. That's good for the kids. I mean, that's a big deal, you know. You think of the 12-year-olds this year that don't get to play Little League All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something.
Mm-hmm.
These kids think about
they
this.
They wait for that.
T-ball.
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
I think it's horseshit.
I agree. I mean, you know, we've been jumping through hoops and figuring out how we're going to do all the restrictions and the guy follow the guidelines. But I mean, you got if it's truly about the kids, then you do what you got to do.
Yeah. Well, I just felt like if it's truly about safety, I wouldn't be bumping into people at Walmart.
Right. Well, that
all
too.
Damn day.
Yeah.
Or wherever you go.
Yeah.
I hate to even get into
get
it.
Me started.
Oh, I just left.
Well, just
I just come
Corey.
From
it's the truth.
Just now.
It's the truth. It's not about safety.
It ain't. It's not. It's.
But if so, I go to change my insurance today, and I shit you not, I went to Walmart and there's a million damn people.
It's
in
like
there.
Black Friday every day.
But I go to the insurance and they got a note up there and he said, "Knock on the door." It's just me and him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You can't come in. I have to bring paperwork out here."
Yeah.
Here's my wife sent me this there a little bit ago. It's the line at TJ Maxx to check out.
Oh.
I mean, there's 30, 45 minute wait just to check out.
Yeah. Well, it's like that trying to get in Lowe's.
Yeah, I was. There was a 30 minute wait at the garden center.
There's 50 people waiting to get in.
So, what's your take on this, Corey? I have to hear.
As far as what the whole.
It's not even about safety.
I'm not even going to pretend I understand any of it, but I'm not going to pretend that any of it makes sense either. I mean,
well,
when it first happened,
you know, I have faith in our president. And he don't know what's going on, and he's getting numbers, and I like what he done. But that beat the curve shit turned into no little league in the middle of damn summer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We wasn't trying to prevent it. You can't prevent it.
I mean, you're going to see, I don't think we've just...
They politicized
the peak
this.
Of it. I mean, I believe we're going to see a lot of small businesses go under.
And I think that's what it's about.
Talked about this a little bit, that when we fish, and I mean, you know, all these big businesses and big companies, big corporations, they got lobbyists up there putting money in people's pockets.
Sure.
Well, Joe Blow's hardware store on 29th Street, you know, they ain't got nobody speaking for them.
Right. Yeah, it's rough, man.
But that's hard to watch. All I can say is, if it was about safety, you can't have Walmart and Lowe's and all them places open.
Yeah, I don't get it. I've got a friend that's a barber. He he's cool with it. I mean, I'm glad of that because, you know, I know a couple others that aren't. But, you know, you're telling me that I don't need a haircut. But
yeah,
some people need a haircut. But, you know, I can have a dude standing, you know, 6 inches from me, breathing down my neck at Walmart or Lowe's, insert, you know, whatever big box store name you want there. But my buddy can't stand behind me, cut my hair, and I can leave. You know, I don't get it. You know, explain that to me. Like I'm 4 years old, please.
I can't explain it. That's my problem. I can sit here and get drunker and shit. And they'll say, well, that just affects you, not if I get out in the fucking road. I got to be responsible. Right?
Mm-hmm. And the church.
So then
the
I put everybody.
Another one.
Oh, when he started on the church, oh my God.
Which, my wife's church, they never quit going. They never quit going to church. And, you know, I don't blame them. But it just, where did they get that? You know, why can't you be safe in one place and you can't be safe in another? That's my whole deal. I don't understand it.
Well, nothing's safe about life in the first place.
No, I may pull out of here and get hit head on.
Yeah.
On my way home.
You gonna quit driving?
Yeah. Yeah, we had, you know, my wife had somebody just get all over her. You know, look, you went to church, you know, you might go to the grocery store and you might pick something up and you know, my grandma might come behind you and pick it up and then she's dead. You know, then you got to live
with that. Well, that could happen
anytime. I'm thinking, man, can people really put that together in their head to make that
connection
make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, but somehow they made a lot of people do it.
Well, that's the power of the media, man.
Yeah, I mean.
Especially when it's just one-sided. I mean, like I said, you know, and we're going to get off on all this right here soon. We'll get back on hunting and fishing because, like I said, it just blows your mind. But you take Joe Biden actually says something to a black man that is freaking racist. I mean, we like to pick on Joe Biden just for jokes.
Oh,
but I'm like,
it's easy.
Damn.
Yeah,
I was like, he said, and said, you ain't, he says, you ain't black?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty racist.
Mm-hmm.
And I shit you not. I told some of the guys at work, I said, you get ready for something's going to happen here. And now we got that cop done what he done up there. No one's talking about that. And somehow, Trump supporters are racist because that cop did that. But Joe Biden's up there just says it.
Yeah. I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but man,
sometimes it's making it awful easy.
Yeah, sometimes, man, I don't know.
The impeachment don't work. You get the virus.
Yeah.
So Joe Biden is going down the drain. Yeah. Right. We got to start. I mean, it's the first thing I started thinking.
I just think, you know, and it's not helping that it's the first major thing we've ever had since social media became mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, everybody can express their opinion. Everybody's opinions are out there. Everybody wants to feel like they're important by giving their opinion. So they're going to give it.
Yeah.
My thing is,
it's fun to just go to pot.
You know, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. I don't care. Mm-hmm. If you don't, I don't want to wear a mask, I'm not going to.
Yeah, I don't have no problem.
Don't tell me where I can go, where I can't go. If you want to wear one, wear one. Yeah. Wear gloves. I don't care.
Listen, they're going to push until eventually it's going to break. You know,
maybe. I don't know.
If they would get the right person in office, you know, if for some reason Biden was to get in there, they would push it. I mean, when Trump got in there, of course, Hillary and Trump run against each other. Right before all that, they was already setting the groundwork with all these damn shootings left and right. Had Hillary got in there, I mean, they was coming after the guns.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, it just ends.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God, but...
And I don't know.
I mean, how's that happen like that?
I don't know. But there's a lot of things, like I said, I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but...
It's not even a conspiracy. I mean, it's just facts.
But, I mean, they really... I don't think people say that they come after the guns. I feel like they would, too, but also feel like they wouldn't. Because it's such a hot-button topic to use politically that... If they actually done away with the guns, what are they going to run on next time? You know, right now it's, hey, if I get in there, I'm going to take these guys' guns, I'm going to do this, they actually take the guns, then what are they going to do next time?
Well, they get the what guns, they do what they want.
Well, I get that.
I mean, what if we didn't have guns right now?
Strong motivator.
But what if we didn't have guns right now when they started all the things that they was doing with our freedoms through this virus?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that thought is always in the back of their head, like, you know, you better watch it. We push them too far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been a lot of guns sold since 9/11.
I just talked to Tyler Borders the other day. I ran into him, and he said, man, we can't keep stuff on the shelf.
I'd say
it. He said, it's flying off. Ammo, guns.
I'd hate to know the number.
I'm having to wait on ammo.
Yeah. It's crazy out there, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a crazy world.
It is.
And then you got them ding-dongs. You know, what they done in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I mean, I felt like I should have been down there with them, you know, for the way that idiot governor was acting.
And, well, he's not gone yet.
He's not gone yet.
Yeah.
And then
he just occupied
that goofball in Michigan.
Yeah.
Oh, Michigan, that's a mess.
Wow.
Michigan and Canada.
She don't want them.
I feel bad for anybody who tries to guide on St. Clair this year right now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
They just got out, what, today?
Yesterday. It was within the last week, and you can't cross the border. They got the MNR, and the Mounties are sitting on the border, you know, checking people.
For what?
You're not allowed to go into Canada.
Corona?
You're not allowed to cross the border to fish.
Because of the corona?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's both ways. I mean, it's just we're not wearing nemesis either. I mean.
Right.
So, yeah, it's...
It's just a it's bunch a mess. Of... Well, divide and
conquer.
Going
to St. Clair, I don't believe I'll be going this year.
Yeah, that really hurts. I mean... I'm just planning on going.
Oh, my God. Let me get my notes here so we can get off that. There's a lot of things I'd like to say, but I'm afraid your wife might listen. She goes to church.
She's got to live with me.
There's no danger of my wife listening to a podcast.
Yeah, that's what you're going to say. Either way, it don't matter.
Oh, shoot. So, Lance, now you got back into turkey hunting. You thinking about getting back into deer hunting?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Me and my boy went out the last couple of years. We killed one. By no means am I looking when I take him for anything huge.
We're just going out to experience, and
I'll get back into it, and I'm sure I'll take him again, and we'll shoot the first thing that comes by that's brown, and he'll be tickled pink, and we'll eat it, and we'll have fun.
Absolutely.
You know, you weren't here, and
like we talked, you know, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right.
Right.
And I don't have time to put into deer hunting with fishing and stuff, but I'm going to go. Well, no time to take him.
With your passion being musky fish, I mean, that's one big problem I had trying musky fish. One, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know anyone. I knew Dave French,
mm-hmm.
I don't think he'd share any of his secrets like you guys.
I got plenty of his if you want them.
Yeah, I'll get them off Corey, Dave, yeah. If you listen. But it seems like the best time to musky fish is the best time. Well, you're either turkey hunting or deer hunting.
Absolutely.
It seems April, like it all.
March, April, May, September, October, November.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it all runs together, doesn't it? Yeah.
If you're fishing the lake anyways, no creeks. I'd prefer to go December, January, February. There's some secrets with Dave French's.
He's back into the creeks. He's back into the creeks.
Easy.
Well, I started watching the Musky Hunter TV. That's Greg. That's your buddy, I guess.
Ain't yeah. It? That's who just takes me.
But I'd run into another place, and it was down in Tennessee. I don't know who these guys were, but they went to Tennessee, and I guess the water temperature is like the same all year long.
Melton Hill.
Yeah.
Melton Hill.
It comes out of Norris Lake, and then they got a power plant there, yeah. And right there, I fish. It's
have you
nice,
fished there?
It's pretty nice fishing.
You fished there, Corey? So
it's a unique place because. I mean, the water really never, I mean, even if it's in Tennessee and it's hotter than it is here, that water never gets over about 76, 77.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know the guys, and you guys may watch this, you may watch it, Lance, but I can't remember who I was watching, but he was with two younger guides.
Probably,
I don't know if he's just
Corey,
trying to.
Corey or get that other guy's name.
They seem like younger guys. And I don't know if he's just trying to put on sale to God or whatever, but.
Was it Jim Sarek fishing down there?
I can't remember. I have to look when we get done here. But, they said there's nothing consistent about this lake. Why is that?
Well, they got the cold water coming in and out, drawing out of the bottom of Norris, and then when they're generating power, that drops hot water in it. So it's just
so the fish are constantly moving different areas. Mm-hmm. I know one thing, they caught some hogs.
Yeah. If you're to go down there, I mean, I've been down there in January throwing topwater. Mm-hmm. You go down there when they're generating power, that water is 65, 68 degrees, and those fish are stacked in there.
That's what I was hearing. That's probably the only constant in it. It's just when they generate current.
So you know what they're talking about when they said nothing's really constant. Not like, you know, you guys go out to Cave Run, you kind of know, you know, right now what to do compared to the fall and
Cave Run's, I mean,
in spring. I mean,
that lake fluctuates. The one constant at Cave Run is that the lake levels are going to change.
Well, I've seen that.
This
past weekend, I was like, I don't even know what the hell is going on here.
It went up, I don't know, 5 foot from when me and you were out there. And that's not a lot, really, for that place. Now, if you put 5 foot of change on any lake up north, then people are going to be flooded.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So, that, I know Dave, I mean, I don't know what he's talking about. He complained about all that kind of dam stuff and waters up and down.
Oh, yeah.
Gets under his skin.
Yeah.
But, oh, shoot, where was I going with all that? Daggone it. Slipped my mind. I got so much racism and all that crap on my brain. I got to let it go. The government, the conspiracy theories. Good Lord. Got to get back to hunting and fishing. They're after us, boys. I mean, we're going back to spaceships here before you know it. I mean, when this don't work, it's back to aliens.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for them Saturday, I guess. They're supposed to launch.
Already?
They were supposed to launch late yesterday.
Scrubbed it, didn't it?
Is that what they're looking for?
Oh, I don't know.
I keep up with the Elon Musk, so any space stuff that I hear comes from him. I like him.
Yeah.
But, shoot. Well, let's just go to this. Since you guys are here, the musky guys. Someone wants to get into musky fishing. You're talking about a newbie, like myself, I guess. And what can they expect, and what's some basic things they should start out doing to try to have some success, if you know what I mean? Just to start to get in the path, you know. Is there any advice there? One thing I can tell you, expect it's work. Don't
expect instant gratification, which a lot of people nowadays don't like. Absolutely. But I would say don't get caught up with all the baits and expensive stuff you see on Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be my number one. Because you can musky fish on a budget.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's some Shimano, the rod you were using with me. Mm-hmm. You can get those for $50. There's Shimano 8.6 medium heavies or heavy. You know, you can get them for $50. If you break one, go buy you another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can get some relatively inexpensive reels. Couple $100, you can get $300, you can get a really nice setup to start with.
Mm-hmm. And nicer than either one of us probably had when we started.
Oh, absolutely. I was using bass rod.
And a haboo and some kind of black diamond piece and junk $20 rod.
Yep.
Well, and then when it comes to, and I know, you know, every region's different. Every from north to south, you know, out east here, whatever, every region's different. But if I come to a lake, you know, what's some of the first things I need to understand about that lake? I guess maybe what's the bait in here? What are they eating? I mean, is there a certain type of terrain that I'm looking for? And I guess that would all depend on, you know, what year you're fishing. And I'm just trying to come up with a few things, if you know what I mean, that would, you know, someone just decided, you know what, I'm going to go muskie fishing next week. I got to get a plan.
New lakes are hard for anybody. New lakes hard.
I mean, I know if I come to deer hunting, I'm going to say, all right, you're a new deer hunter. First thing you need to look at the food sources. Okay, if you're hunting in eastern Kentucky, it's probably going to be white oaks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure, yeah.
Look for a funnel here. I mean, is there some simple little,
yeah, I mean,
just basic
like
things?
I'm getting ready to go here in, I don't know, a month. I'll be at Eagle River fishing at PMTT. And I'll just kind of like tackle it like it's a new lake. The first thing I'm going to look for is the weeds. If it doesn't have weeds, then I'm going to look for break lines. And, you know, if it does have weeds, what kind of weeds? What weeds are the thickest? And, you know, like, for instance, does it have milfoil? Well, fish like, you know, usually like milfoil. Does it have cabbage? If it's got cabbage and green cabbage, fish it and fish it hard and fish it a lot. But I mean, you that's the kind of thing you look for first. Or if it's a, you know, if you're fishing a river or a flowage or a stream, what current? Look for areas with current. Look for slack water just off that current, because those fish generally won't be in the current. They'll be just out of it, because the current provides food. They don't have to move much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are kind of things. And then, you know, if it doesn't have weeds and it doesn't have a lot of structure or depth changes, start looking for laydowns.
Mm-hmm.
Or standing timber, you know, something to provide ambush spots. Yeah. It's not that much, not that different, and I think that's why a lot of people transition from bass. It's because it's not that big a transition. They're still ambush predators,
right?
Yeah. And they use the same type of structure.
Yeah. Take what you know about bass and apply it to muskie, and you will have some success.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
With the one caveat, I would say, and then bass fishing is just starting, is don't forget to check open water from time to time. If you can't find them shallow, middle, they got to be out deep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just be ready to work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's not easy. You'll be sore every day.
I mean, like I said, we was talking about Corey earlier, how it's relatable to deer hunting a lot of different ways. We couldn't come up with the answer of what we thought would be harder to kill a 170-inch buck or catch a 50-inch muskie. We debated on it back. Well, we didn't really debate. We just kind of tossed it back and forth.
Yeah,
it is pretty close.
I mean, you're...
My thing with the muskie is you're talking 12 or 14 years old
compared
to maybe possibly a 4.5-year-old. I mean, most of the time I know someone's out there, hey, they got to be 6 years old to be 170. Hell's fiery. There might be a 3.5-year-old out there. You know that, Corey, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's a lot of years. In my mind, I'm thinking,
that's a lot of years for stuff to go right for it to get to that big.
Yeah. To get to 12 to 14 years.
I think that's what fires people up so much about people eating, especially the big ones.
Oh, yeah. It does.
Well, that picture that I sent you, that guy, which I understand, and Corey and I have talked about that as well. It's just the age thing. But I'm an older guy. When I was in my 20s, I wouldn't have thought nothing of it. I didn't think a lot about anything when I was in my 20s, to be honest with you.
You thought a lot about one thing, I bet.
I still think about that. I got a trick to that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can share it on here. So you get mad. But it's kind of like my dog out there in a way. You know, he's at that stage. He's growing up. And I notice he ain't listening as well. You know, he's losing concentration because he's getting some testosterone going on or something.
Sure.
And he'll try to hump someone's leg. You know what I mean? So I found out if I do that long enough, she'll cave in finally. Just do it. Just get it over with. I hope she don't listen to this podcast. Hey, here's another thing. Since we're on the wife thing, I'm pretty proud of this. So, this is awful. But, you know, every wife, I think, gets pissed off when you put something like an empty milk jug back in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got this peanut butter. I finished the jar. Me and Greg finished the jar. And Greg's in because of all this coronavirus from college. And I'm like, you know, I could throw this away. It's like 5 foot behind me, the trash can. I just put it in the cupboard. Mm-hmm. She buys more peanut butter. We finished that one. I put it in her. I got up to 7. Well, about 5. And she knew this. Mm-hmm. But I was at about 5 jars of peanut butter. And she opened it and she just gave me the look. And I just act like I didn't know, you know, just walked on, started talking about something, and she just shut it. You know, she was just like, I got to 7 before she finally just said, how many is it going to take? I think 7's pretty good. That's like a record.
Yeah, that's got to be a record. Yeah,
that is impressive, ain't it?
Yeah.
I've been wanting to talk about that. I wanted to Facebook it, but I didn't want to, you know, get too much.
I don't think I can get that.
No.
No. You know,
well, I probably could. I just blame it on the kids.
I would think 3 would be like, you know, that's when things start getting. You couldn't get that far, Corey?
No. She'd know something was up because most of the time I don't even put them back in the cupboard. That's why I get yelled at.
Oh, just leaving it out?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I blame it on the kids, like Lance said.
So, well, that's a great
I seen your meme the other day, Lance.
Oh, the water bottles?
Yeah, the water bottles.
Gosh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
See, I can't blame nothing on kids anymore. Yeah. You guys will see one of these days. I used to blame a lot of stuff on them.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy.
Got to.
Oh, yeah. I almost feel bad sometimes if they get their butt tore over it, but then, you know.
You know, I'd feel bad when I didn't make my bed or clean the room. And then I'd go rip their ass real good mm-hmm. about cleaning the room and give them this big lecture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. That ain't right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah. What can you do?
Yeah. That's what it is.
Raising kids.
Mm-hmm.
Ball players. I didn't ask, do yours play ball?
They like basketball.
Are they in basketball?
Yeah, my little boy, he is, for whatever reason, he's got it in his head he wants to play football this year.
Well, good.
No, it ain't. I mean, I played football. I love football. I encourage kids to play football. But now, my boy is 9 years old. He's a whopping 41 pounds.
Yeah, I see.
I mean, he is little. But he's got a big heart, and he's stout. I mean, he's like a stump. Yeah. But he just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I want, inside here, I want to let him figure it out. I want him to go. But also, you know, parent, I'm like, kill my boy. They won't kill him. But so I don't know. I ain't decided yet what we're gonna do.
I'll tell you, I mean, I'm the old man here that's raised, you know, I raised mm-hmm. 2 boys and my daughter, and of course I coach Greg and Bobby, and there comes a point, you guys may already be there, but you know, I was like, I'm gonna have to turn him loose Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've got to prepare him because mm-hmm. If he's going to come here crying, you know, I want him to fail here. Uh-huh. So I started really putting him some tough, which I'm not saying that because what you're talking about with your boys is small mm-hmm. for football. But I was always setting him up for failure. And I may have told you, Lance, on the boat, I can't remember half stuff. I may have said this on a podcast before, but just one thing I think I did tell you. That cracked me up about Greg is when I was coaching him in Little League, he was a 12-year-old. Of course, when you're a 12-year-old, you're the stud, you know, on the mm-hmm. team. And some of them kids was backing off that short hop, you know what I mean? And you want to charge it. You play baseball.
Yeah.
And you just want to get them. You know, for me, at that age, I just wanted to teach them good, solid fundamentals instead of some of them idiot coaches out there wanting to think they're going to major leagues. I want to teach them fundamentals so maybe if they go to high school or something, they would know how to play. That's why you should do it, coaches.
Yeah.
And don't just take your 3 or 4 athletic ones. Coach the whole damn team. So he gets out. We had someone on first. That's what it was. We had someone first. They hit the ball, and he started charging, and he backed up, and he fumbled it. He either got the one off in the second or one out first, and but the 2 or 3 practices before that, I was working on them other kids, and they looked up to him because he was one of the better players on the mm-hmm. team. And he comes in, and of course, you know, I give him the cold shoulder, and I rip him a little bit. That's bull crap. You know? Mm-hmm. That's bull crap. Just trying to teach him a life lesson. You know?
Sure.
And he's upset. You know, he wants to make me proud. So he goes out there. Boom. He crushes one over the concession stand. This hurt him worse than anything, I did tell you.
Yeah.
And I'm coaching first base, and man, he crushes it, and he looks at me, and he's running, and man, I just turned around. It's a 3-run home run. He come all the way around, and he had to come back to that dugout, and he looked like little Cash out there, my little Labrador when he does something good, you know. He's looking at me like, man, I never did. He still talks about that. Yeah. He's like, man, that's the cruelest thing you ever done to me. But it's tough, man.
Yeah.
Eventually, you got to let him go.
I know. It's hard. It's hard.
You guys got a lot of good times ahead of you. Mm-hmm. You're all so young and stuff. I said, you're coaching. And you get yours out trapping?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How do they like that?
They do. They enjoy it. They, you know, they're not big enough to actually do the, you know, physical work of it. But
right. But they're learning.
Yeah, they're learning. And I try to be easy on them with the, you know, the blood and gore and everything.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's time for everything.
Yeah. But, yeah, they enjoy it. They're learning. The girls, they really surprised me. I didn't think they'd really have anything to do with it, but now they like it. They like to get out.
Yeah.
See the animals. They ain't figured out how they get from the trap to being dead in the back of the Ranger yet, but we'll get there. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you, you see a lot of women that was raised, I guess, like your girls, mm-hmm. up with their dad or grandpa, and then as they get older, they get back into the outdoors. I mean, we see it more and more now. I mean, you got some of them, mm-hmm. like just some of the guys just want attention. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. But you see a lot of women in the outdoors. I think it's good. You was talking about having your wife taking her turkey hunting, mm-hmm. and I got to tell this story real quick too, because if I don't, I'll forget about it.
Yeah.
It just came to mind when you was talking about that. But I took Deb hunting, turkey hunting, and that's her turkey right there, matter of fact.
Yeah.
Got it mounted for her. But, you know, she never went turkey hunting. She knew more about turkey hunting than I did. You know, when it gobble and I say it's going to do this. No, it's not. It's coming over here. No, we need to go here. We need to go there, you know. It was just I was filming a lot of that, and I wish I'd have kept all that footage wow. I deleted it because I was embarrassed at the time, but now it's funny, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was a struggle. She finally got that big gobble right there.
Yeah.
So it's good to get outdoors. But that was it. She killed it, and she's done with it.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Those hills are too tough, I guess.
Yeah.
Ain't no fun.
I didn't. Yeah, and I took my other blind. I didn't want to ruin her off the bat, trying to get up and down hills. But
well, you go to running and gunning. My God, you can put some miles on quick. Can't you? I do fast.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, that's my gig. I mean,
now I used to use the B Mobile or whatever it's called, the uh-huh. gobbler decoy. Mm-hmm. I used to use a fan now.
Yeah.
You ever use?
Yeah.
You can use a fan. You ever have to reap one, Lance? You get into it.
Always keep spring. One with you. That was one of the biggest things I hated to see get popular. I felt like it. I mean, forever, me and Dad, we felt like we had the, you know, that was yeah, we had the secret. You know, nobody's gonna figure us out, and they did, and now everybody does it. But it still works. You know, they ain't got totally conditioned to it.
Nah,
they used to. That, but man, it looks cool.
Oh, it's a blast.
It's a blast. Much like musky fishing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work. I mean, you're working these abs out
mm-hmm.
Because you're crawling
and your neck, and
your neck hurts so bad.
Yeah,
and then you get that fan out there. But I found just using the fan is 10 times easier, and because mm-hmm. that decoy, you'd always get in a position where you might have to throw it behind you,
right?
Yeah.
Or you know, mm-hmm. then you got to try to stick it in the ground, and if it falls over, you're screwed. Yeah. But the fan, you can just
mm-hmm.
lay it down, boom, mm-hmm. he's toast.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun. It is fun.
I'd seen out at Cave Run there Saturday. Young boy, he's got a bass boat. He was bass fishing. They've been catching some bass out there,
mm-hmm.
some good bass. But when that water raised, they never caught anything.
They went straight in the brush.
But they seen a big muskie,
mm-hmm.
and I know they was fishing shallow.
Yep.
Because he told me, he said, if my trolling motor ain't hitting, he said, we're not catching bass out here. I mean, you know, he knows. Well, but he's seen a big muskie somewhere shallow.
At Cave Run, when that water goes up, those fish, especially like right now, all those shad and everything go right to that new growth, right as shallow as they can get, right up in the brush. And you just can't always get to them.
Yeah.
So when it goes up like that, I'll try to look for places with a steeper bank where the water, you know, and on those steeper banks, you'll have little scrub bushes that are out 8-10 feet off the shore, and those will be submerged, but those fish will bury in those scrub bushes, and you can fish those, but if you fish like a flat where the water goes back in like 50-100 yards, you can't get your boat back in there. But if you hit those steeper banks when the water's raised out there at Cave Run, you can get some fish off those.
Well, see, the one I was telling you that I hooked, which, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, it's just luck, but at about the time I hooked him and pulling out that net, my trolling motor hit, so I was...
You're shallow.
Shallow. Yeah. Shallow. I mean, I had to be 3 foot, and I'd cast it up in there, but that water went way up. Man, them carp was... Yeah. Damn. If I had a boat, I'd have cleaned house on carp. I don't know if you all do that there or not.
Used to, I haven't in a long time.
I know a lot of people do it on the Ohio. I don't know if anybody does.
I've never done any boat fishing.
There's a lot of people does it on Cave. Actually, that's another thing getting pretty popular. But,
they got plenty of gar to shoot at right spinning carp, especially right now. Absolutely. They're all on the bank.
Yeah.
I would say a few muskie get accidentally harpooned. Oh,
I guarantee
that.
It. Absolutely, especially.
Well, I mean, he was up in there, close to him. I don't know. I guess, like you said, them shad up in that grass.
Shad's in the grass. I mean, you can't put muskie ain't gonna pass up a, you know.
Well, they're gonna be where they're 10,
12 inch carp. I mean, he ain't gonna pass that up.
Oh yeah, they like him carp too, don't they?
My favorite time on Cape Run when the water after the water's been up is as it's going right back down. Like right now, they're pulling it real hard, and everybody quits because the casting bite up on the bank sucks. You can't catch them. Yeah. But if you pull just back out just a little bit, those fish are still sitting right on the edge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're not, you know, everybody's casting back in the brush. But you, and usually, I'll do it trolling. Just troll right along the edge of the brush. And, I mean, you can have 6, 8, 10 fish a day doing that if you hit it right.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Saturday when that water was high, I mean, it's not musky, but my God, everybody out there was slamming the crappie.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere I was, they was... They was reeling me left and right. I was like, holy crap.
And you know how, like, you caught your muskie off those laydowns. You go, and, you know, right now as the water's dropping, those fish are pulling out those deeper laydowns, the crappie, anyways. Uh-huh. You probably got those laydowns, in which I'm going to Saturday when I got. We're going to jig those laydowns.
Right. Yeah. Well, you seen what I caught. That blew my mind. I was like, damn, I feel so bad. That's a damn muskie. Yeah. That's the smallest one ever right there. Well, Corey, any big plans for deer season this year? I know we talked a little bit about it earlier.
Not really. I'm going to do exactly what I've done last year. I'll feed, you know, for the kids if they want to go out and try to get an easy one. But I'm going to go out. I'm going to scout. I probably won't hang any cameras.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to hunt. I'm going to hunt, and I'm going to see what shows up.
The unknown.
That's it. I'm going to make it exciting again.
Holy crap. Yeah, that's... I tell you, I've got a few big ones in Ohio. I just got to kill that one. You just wore me down, Corey. I don't know. I haven't talked to you since. I don't even know if you've seen it, but it was... I'll show you some pictures here when we get off. You'll appreciate that. Yeah. I think I might show you the picture of that one. Yep. Good night.
I seen you. Did you post it on?
I didn't post the biggest ones. I might as well.
I seen you post. There was a slammer you posted on there. I don't know if it's what you're talking about.
All them pictures that I posted, that's off the same farm.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you, that farmer right there, that place is either soybeans, and then the next year it's corn. He rotates it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something happened. His barn burned down or something. I don't know what. Something happened where he got sick, and he couldn't get the soybeans or corn out, so he put it in winter wheat. Now, there's always big bucks running in that area, but a lot of people call them, I don't know, non-resident bucks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But during the rut, you'll see some big, there'll always be a big slunger come through there, or a couple, and several 140s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be during pre-rut and rut. And I never get a picture of nothing in September there. Well, when they put that winter wheat in there, and the back farm behind it, which is about 20 acres, they clear cut it. And then this farm's right in between all the winter wheat and that back farm that got clear cut. That little small change all those bucks that I posted there was right there on a little 100-acre farm. Now, I mean, it's weird how something that, I mean, it's always been a good place to hunt. I'm just saying that little slight change right
Habitat
there.
Habitat change, man.
So they, before they was bedding, in my opinion, way over in this one area here. Yeah. But when they clear cut that, they had the food right there. They just moved in that clear cut, didn't they?
Perfect. Yeah, perfect.
Good night. And it, I caved in like a big sissy. You know, back in my old days, I'd had all kind of excuses. But I laid on that cot in that little old cabin, and I was hearing things talking to me. You know, it was an all-day hunt for 2.5 weeks. You know what I mean? Because I knew there's a bruiser in there.
Yeah.
I knew there's a few bruisers in there that wanted to shoot. If I hunt every single day and I keep the wind right, I'm going to kill this big buck. I know it. And I had a West Virginia farm leased with David Miller. I don't know if you know David. He's the one always killing the big monster bucks in West Virginia.
Okay.
And Britton Bradley. And then, of course, I got the last week of gun season here in Kentucky. So I'm going to kill 3 monster bucks, you know. It's already in my head.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, I'm still in Ohio 2 weeks. And then I'm seeing some bucks like these right here, and I'm past them, and I'm like, God. You know, one more day. And now I'm getting close to like the 14th, the 15th, 16th of November, and I'm thinking, man, any time for that area, it'll shut down. Then for 2 or 3 days, they'll all be running anywhere, and you really can't pinpoint them, if you know what I mean. But I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, even with musky lands, knowing there's a musky there, and he just starts wearing you down, and Corey...
I've definitely been there.
You know what I'm saying? It starts working on you mentally, doesn't it? You know, and I'm old enough to talk about it instead of making excuses like I wanted to.
Yeah.
Start justifying a bunch of bullshit. So, like I said, I'm laying on this cot, cutting wood, loved all that. I was having a blast. They liked the dark. And I've told this story, but I got to tell it to you because you haven't heard it in your deer hunting. So, I can't even get this buck on picture.
Yeah.
Or on the camera, and I've got 8 cameras out there, and I'm like, where's he going? You know, what's going on? Well, there's a house right here, and the guy that lives in the house is seeing this buck, and I've got cameras everywhere. There's one little patch of woods that ain't no bigger than half this room, right out in front of his house. And I get thinking, is that damn buck bedding in it and watching down through there for them does? Because there's a chicory field down there and right in front of the house. So I get back a couple hundred yards and I watch, and sure enough, about dusk, he comes out of there like, damn it. Going through this, he's killing my soul. I know where you're at now. So I get my tree stand ready the next day at noon. I run in there, get the tree stand. I've got the wind perfect, everything's good, but it was real windy. I'm talking about 20-30 mile an hour winds. I said, I've got to cut wood one day. This is the day I'll cut wood. So I get to cutting the wood and all this and that. I know it's a long-winded story, but we're podcasting.
Yeah.
But, and I start thinking, man, I've got to get to that tree. Piss on the wood. So I grab the bow and I take off. And when I start back through there, I see a buck. I think it was actually a buck I ended up shooting, and a doe. So I just dip down behind an oak tree, but the wind's in my face. And they're actually underneath my tree stand. And I grunted at him or done something at the buck I seen, growled, buck growled, you know how you do. Just try to get him moving around and get him out of there so I get down to my tree stand.
Yeah.
And when I do that, that monster buck comes barreling up. And I'm like, oh, good Lord. I've got my backpack on. I've got my bow. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't like shooting with my quiver on.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, it's just weird. But I'm behind this oak tree, and I take a second, I'm like, I've got the wind. This buck's dead. So I slip the backpack off, I get my rangefinder, and I can see his rear end, and I range him, and he's in range, 40-something yards. He's dead now. I slip the, you know, quiver off, get my arrow knocked, and I'm like, and I'm watching this other buck over here, and he's not even paying attention to nothing. And he's about 40-something yards. Yeah. And he's paying attention to that doe. And I can still see this big buck's rump. Mm-hmm. I'm going to range him one more time. And I'm all the way down at the bottom of this oak tree. And I just barely go like this. And I shit you not, he just locks in on me. Now, I've hunted for a long time. And when the wind's that heavy in your face, and you're that far away, and you're that far, I mean, Corey, you know, normally, 9 times out of 10, you get away with that one.
Oh,
don't you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit. Well, when he does, he starts backing up.
Uh-huh.
Instead of just taking off running,
yeah,
he backs up slow, and he gets down low, and I'm like, how the hell did he see me? Mm. Okay, now this starts screwing with me, okay? He's unkillable, right? So I think it was 2 days later, he comes back off that hill to go towards that little patch.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ranged this tree at 37 yards, and my bow's right here. I mean, good Lord, you know, the wind's in my face, 190 inches coming at you. He just stops and just wheels around. I mean, I don't know if some of them's got a sixth sense or what.
I don't know.
Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, when the wind's in your face, I've done this a million times. And I've had them do that a couple times, but sometimes the wind, I wasn't sure. But when it's blowing that strong, I'm pretty confident.
But there's so many things there. If you don't, even with the wind hitting you that hard, you don't know. Wind's like water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be swirling.
Yeah, it can. You might think it's, you know, just hitting you in the face. If it's not, you know, if it's not going on over the hill, if it's not, you know, just getting away from you, rising, it could be hitting something coming right back under you. Man,
it's almost like blowing the trolling motor in one's face.
I mean, it's so hard. Unless you know, drop some milkweed, whatever you want to do to see where exactly that's going. I mean, I've had them do the same thing. I sit there and go, you've got to be kidding.
There's a doe come into the wood line, and it was just a doe, you know. So now I'm in between them, and he turns around, you know, and she goes up with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, fuck it. I said, I called Debbie, I'm not going to shit with you. I said, I'm just going to tell you something. I said, I'm coming home.
Yeah.
And now, when you get on a buck like that, you have to eat a tag. Now, you have to eat a tag.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to eat a tag to kill that buck, because I can kill him late season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not leaving, you know. He's been there. That's his home.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shown himself in daylight. Now, I've done this too long, but, you know, I got undisciplined, you know. I lost discipline.
Yeah.
That's just a fact of it.
It happens.
And that other buck come through there, and I said, I let him walk by me, and I said, shit on this. I said, if I'm going to grunt at him, if he comes back, he's shot. And I grunted, he came back, and he got shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Yeah. That's something right there. That's something
I can't even look at that rack.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I know, it's awful.
Pitiful. But that's something that always interests me. Hunting a particular deer. Now, how do you hunt a particular fish? Because I never was good at it.
And Lance, you talked to me a little bit about this on the boat.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying.
It's kind of like deer hunting. You know, for me, if I'm hunting a particular fish that I've moved and I know that's using that area, for the most part, you know, a deer like or a muskie's like a deer, they won't leave unless the food leaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if everything they need is right staying there, if food stays there, then they're going to be there until something changes. Whether you get a complete wind change or, you know, hard wind scatter the bait, then they may leave. But if you got stable conditions and, you know, you look at the forecast, you may have a week, 10 days of relatively stable weather, he'll usually be there.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I play the moon, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, sunrise, moonrise, sunset, moonset,
mm-hmm.
and then your majors and minors and all, you know, all of it. And those are opportune times to go after it. I try not to wear out the area he is, you know, make a pass through there.
Much like deer hunting.
Right, you know, and make a pass there. If I don't see it, maybe come back at one of those opportune times, or if you get a wind change. If you wind, you know, blowing northwest and all of a sudden it switches southeast, sometimes that'll fire them up. Or if you get cloud cover, if it's bluebird sunny, which I hate, and then all of a sudden you get a storm rolling in, you better go check on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't, you know, I haven't got the opportunity to do it here lately, but that's something I really enjoy. If you find a big one, you know that. Yeah. For the most part, I know who's.
Well, it's a big game. It's a chess match, then, right? Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
And you touched on what. That's the main thing I always screw up, is where you just said how you make your pass. Because after five or six times seeing that fish,
yep.
I'm like you, hey, screw it. You know, I'm sick of looking at this thing.
Yeah.
But I can't get it in my mind to come back, hey, switch something up, switch an angle up, you know, switch presentation up, you know.
Much like having to switch the tree stand
exactly,
up.
Exactly, yeah.
For instance, you know, you go down through there, if you know the fish is in the area, you go down through one time, you're casting into the weed line. Say you don't see him. Well, next opportune time you see to come back, maybe run the inside edge and cast out and change your bait angle on it. Sometimes that makes a big difference.
See, so that one spot I was telling you about, every time I went in the fall, mm-hmm. I was seeing a fish.
Right.
Of course, I couldn't catch it. I need to switch something up there.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know. It seemed like they swiping at it, or when I did the figure eight, I'm sure I was screwing
that
up.
And a lot of times, they'll just be finicky like that. They'll just nip. But if you're casting always out deep to shallow, maybe next time try coming up in about 3 foot of water, cast shallow to deep.
You know what my biggest problem is? Is when he comes up, I'm like, crap!
Yeah, don't do that.
No, yeah. You can't do that. Yeah. No, you can't do that. That but one no, was it, it so is, big or looked big to me, it might not have been a monster.
How important is color to you?
It's not.
Ain't me either.
I think color, you know, there are certain colors that work better in situations, but I think, you know, your presentation to me is more important.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Dark days, I try to use a little bit darker colors. Bright days, a little bit brighter colors.
Mm-hmm.
But in perfect example of that is about 10 years ago, me and Dad were fishing, and I'd been moving everything on black and orange, black and orange, black and orange. Well, we run out of just about black and orange, had one left in the boat. We had a black and chartreuse bulldog. He's like, color don't matter. I'm like, you're crazy. He's like, well, I'm going to show you. By God, 30 minutes later, he put a 51.5 in the net.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, color don't matter.
Jeez.
Yeah, it presentation means more to me than color.
Yeah.
So,
at least on our lakes. I have seen times on other lakes it does make a difference.
I mean, how about the transition from lakes to a creek when it comes to lures? Are you using the same type of lures, or do you have a totally different set of lures that you take to the creek compared to what
depends
you take
on time of year.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's a
I'm
season.
Still using the same stuff.
Yeah.
Now I'm using the same stuff at different times in the creeks than I am on the lake. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
I'm gonna take you way back since it's Throwback Thursday.
Yeah. Okay.
My first job, I may have told you, was at a bait shop when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
So it was down there in Greenup. Back in. It seemed like there was a lot of people at Fish Tiger and Little Sandy and Kenny Kinnick, of course.
Sure.
And the two top baits that they bought, and this might sound crazy, you guys, was a Bill Norman and a number 5 Mips.
Mm-hmm.
That's
two
what,
classic baits right there.
Absolutely.
We sold more of them than anything to the musky fishermen. Mm-hmm. And of course, them old guys come in, you got to have this. Yes.
Now, you guys also got
to
think.
That's the 30-30 of musky fish.
Yeah. Is it? I mean, absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
But
so I thought I'd share that
you
with
know,
you.
I'm assuming that's probably 30 years ago,
yeah.
25
yeah.
years 30 ago.
30 years ago.
There was, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of choices on musky baits then either.
I don't think there was.
Yeah.
And that thing, that Mips or Mips number 5, it might have been $3 or $4 or something.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you found a Christmas tree hellbender, I mean that's a holy grail.
Oh, yeah,
I mean you could trade somebody's truck for that.
Yeah. But I do remember. I remember that.
Yeah,
I got two of those and I don't use them.
Seems like
I keep them hung up.
Yeah.
I may be wrong, but it seemed like there's a black one with white stripes on it. Maybe I'm thinking about something different.
There is. Yeah, there is. I can't remember that. I can't remember what they call that pattern. But yes, there is.
I remember when we first started, I mean, all we had was either a Sook or a spinnerbait.
That's
all we started with.
Double odd AC Shiner.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hate to know how many of those I busted off in my life.
Really?
And still to this day, I mean,
I know a lot of people.
I caught fish last year on double O's. I mean, it just.
I hate them, but I use them.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, they eat them, so.
Well, you don't have to share it, but, I mean, I'm sure, is there a particular just go-to bait or go-to time of year for you?
As
if you had if you just had a week to go muskie fishing,
no, I do.
What week would it be?
If I had,
you don't have to share the bait.
Okay,
it don't matter.
Okay, just say in this area.
Okay.
Cave Run to me, my week would be the full moon of October.
Yeah.
I mean that's me. That's where I'm gonna be. Fishing my small water is gonna be depending on, of course. That's one thing I love about the
else.
Yeah, it's one thing I love about the small waters, because so many more variables, I think. But my week would be New Year's week.
New Year's. How about you, Lance, down here?
Usually, kind of piggyback on that, it's usually for me third week of October. And creeks and streams, I like February.
Good.
Well, let me throw one more at you. If you had 1 week to go anywhere muskie fishing, where would it be, and what week would it be?
Oh, boy.
Man, we're dreaming now.
Oh, I know mine.
We went from all that hate earlier to good stuff.
Yeah.
That was good. Good thing I had these little note cards. We'd still be talking about Trump and all that stuff.
If I had 1 week to go anywhere I wanted, I've caught 50s. I've never caught a 55. I'd like to catch it. That shot, an absolute true giant, may have and may not. Yeah. I like to go to St. Lawrence in November.
November?
Yeah.
What about you, Corey?
November. Full moon of November, Georgian Bay.
So you play the moon as well.
It's
Lance.
Yeah.
So they got to have a musky moon guide then, I'm sure. If they don't, someone could be making some money off of it.
I mean, every musky fishing app. It's got a moon
thing on
it.
Majors, minors.
That's deer hunter. I pay money for it.
The most reliable, I think, is that Sir Alden Knight, that book. You ever seen that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he sells a little. Every year they got him. It's the Sir. I think it's Sir Alden Knight. It's got the moon calendars.
Mm-mm.
Brad Hoppy turned me on to it probably 15 years ago. And I've been getting one every year.
Huh. Well, I buy the rut guide every year. But, no, I ain't use that one. I just use the whatever app I can download. You know, Rise, Set, Major, Minor. I mean, that's
well, how accurate do you think those are? Like, obviously, you guys
think
they're pretty accurate.
I think they're 30, 45 minutes. I mean, as far as, you know, the timeline they lay.
Well, you guys are out there enough to know.
Yeah.
I mean, used to be out there enough to
know. What day was it? Was that Saturday? Mm-hmm. The day we were out there, moon. The major was from 1:30 to 3:30. We had moved fish all day. We hooked one and lost it at
1:33. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I just said, I said, well, if we're going to see one, it should be right here anytime. Mm-hmm. Wasn't 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And fishing and hunting both, I've just seen.
Well.
I can't deny it, man. I mean,
no,
I just can't.
You won't catch all your fish, and just like hunting, you won't catch all your fish at the same time, at that round, then those times, but I'd say 70%.
Yeah.
We know something that your dad mentioned, Lance, and it, once again, it relates with deer hunting, or how I deer hunt. You know, weather trumps everything for
me. Absolutely.
And your dad mentioned that musky fishing, and I'm sure you're the same, Corey.
Absolutely.
With deer hunting, as you know, Corey,
mm-hmm.
it's the same. Weather trumps everything, but if I get that weather combined with a good moon, I don't know if I just pay more attention, but ever since I was young, I started paying attention to the moon on their movement. It's like 3 days before that full moon and 3 days after is when I see.
And one thing you can do in musky fishing to counteract the local weather is you can fish at night. Mm-hmm. Like say you got a bluebird hot day, kind of like we had today. You know, this fish ain't going to move a whole lot during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go back out at night and fish your majors and minors at nighttime.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those fish are as smart and leery as they are in the daytime, they can be really stupid at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I don't recommend it going if you have a weak heart, because it will absolutely scare the holy shit out of you.
Yeah, about.
But, they can be caught at night, especially in May, October, down here in May, September, October.
Do you attribute that more to the weather or to pressure?
It's a combination of both. Because, I mean, especially May, September, October, ain't nobody hunting anything else, so they're all at Cape Run. That's why if I had a week to pick where nobody was at, it'd be that third week in October. But I'm getting to learn to love November because ain't nobody out there but guides.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know that pressure, man. I mean, it just hits on everything, doesn't it? Like I said, once again, hunting and fishing and
all. Yeah.
It's just, and then the moon. I mean, it affects people. Anyone that works at a hospital or a police officer knows.
Yep.
People go nuts.
You'll see it tournament fishing. You know, when I go fish that tournament here in a month, you'll hear, be a few fish caught early around the close to tail end of sunrise. And, then there'll be a little bit of a lull. A few people may catch one. But when that moon phase window opens, they'll start popping all over. You know, I'm going to fish Eagle River. It's a chain of 10 lakes. They'll be caught from one end of the chain to the other end of the chain during that window.
Mm-hmm.
But the kind of the key is what we talked when we were fishing the other day. If you put yourself in the best situation, if you're on fish and you know there's fish in that area, don't go leaving and chasing somewhere else just because those fish aren't showing up. Mm-hmm. Say, tournament starts at 7, your moon phase is at 10:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and to me, a tournament fishing, I'm going to sit and I'm going to wear it out.
Mm-hmm.
If I know where fish are at, I'm going to stay there. Trolling motor, I ain't going to go very far. And we're just going to wear that spot out until those fish show up.
Because
you know they're there. Right. It's just a matter of window opening and deciding to eat.
Right.
And, it's kind of like hunting. You put yourself in the best situation possible over and over. Eventually, you're going to be successful.
Well, and then hunting now, we have all the cameras, which you kind of got away from them, going a little old school. But you can just look at it. All them pictures I share, I can look at the date, time, what the weather was, and compare them for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And it's the same movement, the same days, just about,
year
in, year out, especially during the rut. It's not easy. It's not hard to do. It's easy to do, to pay attention. And like I said, now you're putting yourself in a quality position, for a chance at a shot.
Used to, I'd have to go home. I remember, when I seen that deer, go home, get my calendar out, and look. But now, of course, we got the app. And it's just, it never ceases to amaze me. It's just, you see a deer, flip it open, you look, it's 101, you flip it open, red moon, deer will be, in bedding at, 1 o'clock. And there he is. And it's just... how do you argue?
I can't argue. Well, when it comes to deer hunting, my God, deer hunting divas.
Yeah.
Fucking bitches, some of them guys. Mother shit. I can't deal with them. Know what the fuck they're doing? They're taking these big selfies and these beautiful pictures of themselves and all this and that. And they want to argue with me. I've been doing it since I was 14 years old. I'm not going to argue with you.
I don't argue with you.
But some people talk about it. Yeah, no matter what you do, you get... It's just...
All you can do is take what you've seen and what you know and go on
with it. The moon don't mean nothing.
That's fine.
Don't hunt the moon, little dick. Yeah. If you're being
yourself. Do your thing.
Anyways.
It's just...
Gosh. Well, you don't know some of the messages I get sometimes.
Oh, I believe
it. I'm like, don't listen to the damn show. What the hell are you listening for?
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here. Shit. Damn, I'd rather deal with Anna Hunter half the time than deal with somebody I ought to know better.
Well, how's Cave Run doing?
It's good. Fishing's been good. Hadn't been a whole lot of big fish caught, but the numbers are down, but it's just because we haven't had as many trips. But the average number of fish have been, on par with what it normally
is. It's trending about the same, or upwards or down, or what? I haven't been on the lake in a couple of years.
Numbers are fine. Big fish size, I think, is trending downward.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't see as many big fish as you used to.
Reason? What you think?
Well, I think the major water fluctuations we've had haven't helped, and the decreased stocking is the number one reason. And then you got meat eaters and stuff like that. But to me, I think the decreased stocking.
The stocking.
We were looking at numbers.
That's what I wanted to hear.
I think they stocked 1,200 in Cave Run last year, and that 2000 to about 2008, they were up over 2,000.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah. Well, how big are they when they stock them?
6 to 10.
Yeah.
So my God, has to take them a heck of a long time to.
You get three, 4 years, they'll be 30 inches.
Oh,
yeah.
Will they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're eating machines when you first turn them
loose. Sure, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that one boy we seen, he said he caught one in that one area every time he went through there, just small ones, I guess, 20 inches mm-hmm. or something like that.
I wondered how the stock was doing. I knew they backed way off of it, but I hadn't heard a number.
Yeah, you just don't see. I mean, you know.
What's the deal with the backing off? I mean, what's the word on that?
Well, I really don't
funding
know.
Is that what it is? I mean, yeah.
Last, I mean, where's all our money go?
I don't know. Hell, I've been wanting to get fixed a lot on Alfred and a lot of Clay Lick for 20 years, and they've been doing that.
Exactly. I mean, that's something that's always, I mean, that's a really sore subject with me, is the money.
Well, but, I mean, but what's your thoughts on it? It's just, I mean, we're just podcasting. It's just our opinions.
They're putting it into other fish. I mean, I think they're bumping up some of the trout stuff. And
where's trout in that lake?
No, not in that lake.
No, they're.
But I think that's where some of the funding is going. And I think a lot of it may be going to help with this Asian carp deal, too.
I don't know. I mean, it's possible, but. The thing about it is, it's like, you know, I've heard that argument. I've heard the Asian carp deal. And the thing about it is, you know, they're getting some pretty massive government, federal funding for that Asian carp. So I don't know why we would have to, you know, kick in on that, but we may do it. But I just, one thing that's always stuck in my mind, you know, when we had the shop down there, that was the first year they done passes.
Right.
Okay.
They were supposed to be for upkeep of the ramps.
Upkeep of the ramps. New ramps.
How long have you seen that pothole at Scotts Creek?
Oh, my God. How long has it been since there's been a light at Scotts Creek?
Well, I mean, Cave Run's a big draw.
They was...
Yeah. I mean, you think about, you know, it's like the pleasure boaters right now. How many people buying parking passes, $1, $3, $5, or $3, $5, and $30 parking passes?
Yeah.
Every
now
year.
Now you got another ramp for that many more people. I mean, the first year they done it, they started late.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was, Lord, it was summertime.
I'm going to say 05, 06 was the first year they did that.
But by the end, I was talking to them, because used to, they bring you your pay. You didn't have to go get them. They drop them off quickly. And I asked her, you know, it was pretty much, it's getting, you know, close to closing time, you know, October, late October. I said, how'd you do? They said, we got $250,000 in the bank. They had $250,000 in the bank, starting late, the first year they ever done it.
So you can figure they're probably making $500,000 easy every year off that.
Yeah. So add that up. It's been 15 years.
Now that is that's Forestry Service, correct?
Yes.
And that's federal. Now, granted, they don't have anything to do with the hatchery, but that's a lot of money that could be going for upkeep.
Absolutely.
And then they were throwing in the argument they couldn't put the buoys back going up Beaver Creek.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't know about. I'm not down there, which you live down that area, and mm-hmm. Lance, you're always on that lake. But, there's people come from all over the country to go to that lake fishing.
But there's a reason the PMTT goes there every year. It's because, I mean, the tourism kicks in money, and, I mean, that place brings, you know, you have 100 boats, that's 200 anglers. That's, you figure, over half are staying in hotels and motels in the area, boosting the economy, not to mention all the bass tournaments. You know, that lake brings, the pleasure boaters.
Yeah.
A lot of money generated in that area by that lake for them not to be.
Yeah. But they'll turn around and tell you that, you know, you give them that argument, they come right back with, we don't care.
Right, it's a flood control.
It's a flood control watershed. We don't care about the fish.
Right.
So.
Well, that's Dave's big gripe when he's been over here before.
And to me, you know, the water fluctuation, I understand that part, and that's fine because fish are biting everywhere at some point. You got to figure out how to catch them. But the fact that the stocking has dipped so bad. Now, like I said, it hasn't really affected the numbers, but the big fish, you just don't see the numbers of big fish.
Well, and just... I forgot what I was even going to say now.
I've done that three or four times.
Yeah, I mean, I was really getting ready to blast somebody too. So
do it, Corey.
Good.
Let it roll.
but no, you're right.
Well, how about and it may have been Dave telling me, used to, they stalked Little Sandy. I know it doesn't have nothing to do with Cave Run, but Little Sandy and Kenny Knick
and Tigert.
And I don't understand why they get away from that.
They used to stock about 150 every other year in each one of those?
Used to, yes. Yeah.
Now, will those fish reproduce in there?
It's so low, it might as well not even
not be. Not even happen?
Yeah. But there's still native fish in there, but they will reproduce. But that was my next gripe was, why don't... That's one thing that kills me about this state is, you know, okay, they don't care. Big deal. They still got their hand out taking our money. But here's what really gets me is when... You know, say me and Lance want to put on a tournament. We're going to put on a muskie tournament this weekend. 100% of the proceeds are going to go to stocking muskie in Cape Run Lake. The state of Kentucky will not allow it.
Every other state allows it.
Every other state in the country.
I mean, well, who?
I mean, hell, Ohio has a minnow fund.
Who do you talk to about that?
I don't know.
Is someone just...
I can produce the emails from when I used to sit, you know, on... on the Muskies Inc. chapter.
You want to give your opinion on that? What is someone just being lazy, don't want to deal with it, or just don't understand, ignorant?
I hate to even say it. I'll tell you afterwards. Because it's...
Well, I understand you don't say it here.
It's...
I've worked for a lot of...
It's ridiculous. When you hear it, you'll think it's so ridiculous that I'm full of crap, but I can show you. It's bad. We should be able to help kick in.
Yeah.
They say our funding's low, we can't give you fish. Well, hey, let us
have a tournament. Yeah. Ohio has three of them, and then they have a raffle at the Muskie Show up there for a minnow fund to go to pay for minnows to feed the Muskie hatchlings.
Yeah.
They won't let us do that.
Yeah. So it's
every other state that we border, the muskie fishing in the last 15 years has improved. West Virginia is one of the...
Yeah, West Virginia's blowing up.
West Virginia is kicking ass. Ohio is doing great. Virginia's doing great. Tennessee is taking off. Kentucky's going the opposite.
Now look at now you've got places. You got Arizona. You got Utah.
New Mexico. Washington.
I mean,
well, muskie's a draw, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
even North Carolina's fisheries get improving. You know, you got Lake Adger down there. I just saw a picture of a 42 pounder come out of Lake Adger in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And you think they'd want to? I mean, I would think in Kentucky. I mean, me not being a big muskie fisherman, I know of Cave Run and Green River. Mm-hmm. You think they'd want to take care of those places? I mean, because I think
musky fishing is a draw, but here
compared to bass, it's a draw.
Exactly, there it is. I mean, you want to know the truth? That's the truth. Compared to bass and crappie, we do not bring in a tenth of what those fish bring in.
And I wonder if them starting to stock Dewey is not another, because that started about 4 or 5 years ago, and that's taken away some of the fish from the Cave Run Green River Buckhorn.
When it comes to economy, you know, I would think muskie, good Lord, the money. I know you don't have to have expensive stuff, but people spend a lot of money on...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, people, you know, I'm not knocking PMTT. I'm glad it's here. But it don't compare to...
No, I mean, not a drop in the bucket.
No, I mean,
you're talking about... You get the National Walleye Trail or the Crappie Masters or, you know, any of the BSS stuff.
100-boat tournament, man, they're going to have a dozen of those on Cape Run a year, bass fishing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, you know, it's money. It's that right there.
Well, it always comes down to money, no matter what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've had you guys here for a while. Or just a couple more things. You was talking about the tournaments. We started talking about it earlier, but I was wanting to talk, Lance, about how you guys, you know, when you're doing the tournaments,
mm-hmm.
how you guys are getting those fish measured and right back into the lake,
rather
than putting them into a live well and hauling them around the lake all day long.
Right. You know, in bass fishing, they throw them in a live well, haul them around the lake. That can't be good for the fish. I don't care what anybody says. There's no way you can haul it. And, you know, you can throw the stuff in the live well, keep the oxygen levels up. You haul a fish in 80-degree water, bounce around your live well at 80 miles an hour, 30 miles up and down the lake, that can't be good for it.
Yeah.
But in the PMTT, what we do, or any tournament now, muskie fishing, really, before the tournament, they'll either give you a code, and they won't give it to you until time to take off. You write it on a piece of paper, and they'll give you a certain color sticker to put on your bump board. And if you catch one, you have to have a picture of the fish laying on the bump board with those stickers visible, so they know they just told you what color to put on there that morning. So you have to have those stickers on there and your code laying in the picture, and you picture of it on the bump board, picture of you holding it, and then you can turn it loose. Then you send your pictures into the tournament director, and they have to be able to zoom in on your pictures to see the nose touching the end of the bump board, and see where the tail touches on the bump board, and they can zoom in and see exactly how, you know, how long it is. And they go, PMTT goes by quarter inch, some tournaments go by inch, half inch. It's just every scoring system is a little different. But, I mean, that, to me, that is the most safe, the safest way to run a tournament if you're truly concerned about the health of the fish.
Well,
fish out of the water, all total, maybe 20 seconds if you do it right.
Like, yeah. If you say something about bass fishing, you know, the whole bass fishing community thinks you're talking about them, and I'm not.
Right.
But
I just think it's something they can, they, you know, maybe,
well,
they
you got to evolve some. You know, you got that Major League Fishing. I like how they do that. But
right.
You would think, you know, just taking from what you said, you think you, you know, you have so many bass tournaments, you think you could have some kind of electronic scale.
Well, you know,
so, I mean, what, yeah. Well,
you could do that, or they could just switch to, instead of measuring by weight, measure by length.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing right there. That takes the.
It's a real shame that you talked about all that. The muskie will end up 99.9% of the times will end up taking the ramp for those people's negligence.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I was thinking.
Well, and
that's all I hear. Muskies eating all the bass. Well, I just threw eight of them in my live well and drove them 80 miles an hour down the lake.
Exactly.
You know, had them out of the water for 5 minutes and then went and threw them back over the bank.
Yep.
But the muskies eating them.
Muskies eating all the bass. You go up north, muskies eating all the walleye.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah.
It's up north, it's you're catching your limit of however many walleye every single day.
Exactly.
And, well, there ain't no walleye left in the
come in on cave
down here. Yeah. You know, the bass is either you're killing them all from having. Look at Yatesville. You know, 20 years ago, Yatesville used to. I mean, it wasn't hard to go up there and catch 4, 5, 6 pounders pretty regular.
Before you got here, Corey said the same thing.
I mean, and now, you know,
must
sometimes.
Eat those too?
Yeah.
How many bass tournaments? I mean, they have to have a bass tournament, seems like every night.
I know. At one point, they were averaging like 4 or 5 a week.
Oh, yeah, easy.
And well, I'll tell you,
it's the same way. People come in, they'll have. You're allowed 60 crappie on Cave Run Lake. And I've seen people come in every single day in the store with 2 5-gallon buckets with 60 crappie that long. And they'll say, we just can't catch a good one.
No, no
we
kidding.
Just can't catch a good one. Them muskies are eating every stinking crappie we got.
But they're only eating them if they're over 10.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, so yeah, I just.
I seen that Saturday. They was flopping in a boat left and right.
Oh, yeah. And, well, and you know, crappie fishing has really boomed on Cape Run the last 5 years. You know why that is? Because we've had such floods in the last 5 years. The water went so high in the trees, people couldn't get up there to catch the crappie.
That's it. Yeah,
and they got to grow a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Why in the world we don't have a size limit on a crappie?
Well, you would think so, wouldn't you?
Every
that's a big
out there has a size limit.
I know there. You know, I hear this not just from you guys, but from a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
The cat fishermen, they have I know you guys ain't in big into cat fishing, I guess, but they have that King Cat tournament, Cabela's King Cat.
Yeah.
And them guys are passionate about their cat fishing out here on these big rivers, like you are musky fishing. And, you know, they see a big, huge 30, 40, 50 pound or catfish or above, and that thing might be 30, 40 years old, I guess. I mean, there. And they have the passion for it. So what they're trying to do is turn into a sport fish somehow, get size limits and this and that. You know, just get something, regulations for the catfish.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio, no problem from what I understood. West Virginia, here in Kentucky, don't even want to talk to them about it.
Yeah.
What the biggest problem was with the catfish, and I understand this, if you love the outdoors, you know, you just have to have respect for any game, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But the pay lakers, the pay lakes, taking these more or less like a big minnow trap out there, big fish trap, and catching these big catfish, selling to the pay lakes, and then, of course, killing them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could see where that would eat at you. But that's what they went down there. And Kentucky was just like, I guess, just from what they told me, just like, deal with it.
Yeah.
They don't mind you.
Exactly.
They
ain't
worried about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
That's why, I mean, it ain't no secret. I'm not a fan of, you know, Kentucky fish and wildlife. I'm just not. I mean, I'm old enough now that I've seen things get progressively worse for no reason other than greed.
Well, I don't know nothing about them or what, and I'm not into it like that, but I do know this when it comes to life, the greasy. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. That's the old saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like no matter what you're doing, that's what it is, ain't it?
Yeah, it's money. It's always money.
Well, man, what else? We've been on here pretty good. Today. I mean, we really ran about nothing. Well, you get talking about stuff like this. It seems like you guys just got here.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate you guys coming on. Corey Cox, Lance Caesar. Lance, it's good to meet your dad.
Yeah, he enjoyed it.
I couldn't remember his name. Daryl?
Yeah, that's it.
I got it right. I mentioned him on that last episode there, but I couldn't remember his name. So we picked him up at the houseboat. That was pretty good.
What got him out of bed.
Living the life. Yeah.
He's got it rough.
It's awesome.
He's earned it, no doubt.
I'm jealous.
Oh, well. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. Anything else you want to share?
I guess that's it, yeah.
Find that bait shop in South Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
How long would it take us to get up there?
16 hours.
And we're worth
pulling
it.
The boat.
Four, just 14.
You
baits.
Can make it 14 with that.
I'm out.
Corey's not going. Mm-hmm. No looting for us.
No looting for me, no.
Just peaceful protest.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, we'll see y'all later. Hope y'all enjoyed it.